Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater.
The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Let's take a call. Cape Hay, California. Hello.
Hi, Larry. Hi. Don Imus. How you doing today? Love your radio show. Can you tell me what happened to Don and Mike in New York City? If they're not on live anymore?
Are they back on? They were taken off for a while. Are they on or out of, not on the air in New York, Don?
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know whether they're on or not.
Well, Don and Mike are on. They're on in Washington, right? Don and Mike.
I think that's where they originated from. Yeah.
Las Vegas. Hello.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke. They drink. They use bad language and company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
Hello, James.
Donna Mike.
Bobby.
What's up?
Hey, Bobby.
What's up? I got a huge problem.
What?
I'm 25 years old. I have a 30-year-old woman that's down with anal kiss and I don't like it. What do I do?
Your woman is obsessed with anal sex.
Obsessed is not the word.
You mean that's the only way she likes it?
No, that's not the only way she likes it. But she likes it in public places at the most. I mean, she loves it at my job, at her job. I mean, she loves it.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but I don't like the butt.
No, me neither.
Not a big fan of the butt.
I can't stand it.
Well, if you can't stand it, unfortunately, it takes two to tango, and
right.
She's going to have to understand that you don't like it.
She's rich.
She's rich?
How rich is she?
Her daddy owns 3 car lots. Her mother is a lawyer.
Well, then you have to do it.
Yeah, well, then you've got to start liking doing it up though, but then. She's rich.
Have you done it with her? Obviously, you have done
it once. I've done it, yes.
And did you totally hate the experience?
It's just the funky smell. And
God, right there.
Lack of preparation.
How about every time you do it?
No,
a brand new Cadillac. What kind of cars does her daddy own? What kind of car lots?
It's a Ford place. Ford, Dodge. It has a Dodge, Ford, and also Mitsubishi.
Maybe every time that you do his daughter, no, but you could get a brand new car. You'd trade it in, go get a new car.
That'd be a lot of fun for you.
I'd do it.
But I mean, you know, as Buzz said, if you're getting that smell issue, you know, she's not preparing properly.
Well, it's more of the spontaneous. She loves the spontaneous about it. Like,
listen to me. I know. I really don't
know.
You do I know. Don't know. I
come on.
It. Never in my life. I've never done that.
You've done some stuff back there.
I've touched back there.
Oh.
I've touched the outside of the starfish.
Okay.
I've done that. But I've never actually, you know, I've never done the full Monty.
You've
thing.
Never come close to the inside of the bad part?
No. No, never.
So when you've said that
you mean
you,
with my nether regions?
No, with your finger.
Oh, I've come to the inside?
Yeah.
Oh, I've come close to the inside. I probably
Oh, you're eating with those hands today.
I've probably gone to those nether regions, but never with Mr. Happy.
Okay.
That's why I mean, but it would seem to me that would be pretty horrible if you had that experience.
Yeah. I think it's pretty horrible what you're talking about right now.
Well, but when I did it, it was so, like, totally over the top, like, you know, that kind of situation.
No, bad is bad.
No, passion, you know. That's
right.
That's when that happens. When you do those bad things, it's like you're really steamy.
That's right.
So you forget it, and it feels just right.
No, it doesn't. Oh, my God. Oh.
It actually, in the spirit of the moment, it can be quite exhilarating.
No way.
Yeah, right, no way.
Hey, hey, excuse me, mister, I put my thing in there. You know, don't go talking to me.
All right, well, our advice would be, if her daddy's rich, you know, stick with it.
Well, I appreciate it, fellas. I want to tell you one thing.
Yeah.
Your show is the best thing in the world.
Thank you, sir.
I love it.
Thank you. Coming from the man with the brown city. Thank you. All right, bye-bye.
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 Isn't that amazing? He's 25 and already sounds like Andy of Mayberry.
I'd just say right now, she owns 3 car dealerships.
Hello, Dynamite Show. Hello.
Dynamite.
You know that Andy of Mayberry never put his finger there with Helen Crump.
Maybe not with Helen Crump.
Who you think about, Aunt Bestiality?
I'm thinking about the Secret Handshake Club.
Right. Oh,
absolutely,
Barney.
How soon they forget. Right. Floyd, Emmett,
and with the fix-it
Howard
man.
Sprague, living with his mother.
What was the mayor's name, Robbie?
Quimby.
Mayor Quimby?
Yeah.
The Darlings.
Oh, the Darlings. I hated
Ernest
the,
C. Bass.
I hated the Andy and Mayberry show when the Darlings were on it.
Hello, Andy. Want to see my star fix?
Hello, Don and Mike. Otis the drunk.
Oh,
radio guy.
All the time, but never preparation with Otis.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
How are you?
We're great, thank you.
Why do you think Otis let himself into the jail? Do you think it was just because he needed a place to sleep? He could have slept on the bench. It's always warm down in Mayberry.
Right, because he wanted Andy's hand up, though, right?
Absolutely. He'd wait until, you know, the show's over. Oh, Otis ends up in jail, and then, you know, late at night,
yeah.
It's either Andy or...
Howdy, Otis.
Or Don Knotts.
Hello, Barney.
Barney Fife.
Boo! Thanks for letting me in, Otis.
There you go. Ooh, Otis is in there. Andy couldn't make it tonight, Otis, so I'll be spending the night in jail with you.
Don't forget the pile, boys. Goober and Gomer.
The piles. I mean, do you need any more explanation than that?
No, I think
Goober
not.
And Gomer pile.
The piles.
Piling on.
Yeah, hello, sir.
I hear you guys are coming back to Ocean City.
Yeah, thought it was today. I guess it'll be Friday.
Oh, gosh. I've been listening to 1300 AM and... Depending on which way the wind blows, sometimes I can get you guys, and sometimes I can't.
Right.
Do you know which station you guys are going to? I'm sure you do. Can
yeah.
You say which station it is yet?
I'd rather wait till Friday to make sure we're on before we say anything.
Okay.
Thank you, though.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
They're building the station tower as we speak, aren't they?
Hell of a Dynamite Show.
Hi. Good afternoon, everybody.
Hey, Baldy.
Hi, everybody.
I wanted to tell you what I did for my 18th anniversary.
What?
I went to take voice lessons to sing my wife an Italian aria.
No. Yeah, that'll be happening for me. Right.
Yeah, well. Well, that's not the good part.
Really?
She accused me of having an affair with the voice coach, and by year 19, I was divorced.
Oh, my God. All right. Wow. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Wonderful story. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Here is Tim in Detroit.
Hey, how you doing today?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I opened up a Busch beer can at 12:30 this afternoon because it started raining up here.
Sure, that's
and
an excuse.
I work construction.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it's raining. Where's the beer?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I was tipping it back, and all of a sudden something whacked my lip, and I thought, well, hell, I haven't had that many where I don't know that there's a cigarette butt in there. I dumped the beer can out, and there's a white triangular thing sitting at the bottom of the can.
Is Busch Beer a sponsor of ours before we continue with this? They're a sponsor?
Technically, yes, because really? they're under the Budweiser umbrella. Oh.
Did you identify what... Well, I'm sorry about that. What was the white triangular thing that you found?
I don't know. It just happened.
Do you still have it?
I called Busch, and they said... or Anheuser-Busch, the number on the side of the can.
Yeah.
And they told me, well, wait a couple days, and our people will get back with you.
Well, did you... I mean... You said it's a white triangular thing.
How big is it?
Plastic?
How big is it?
It's big enough it won't come out of the can.
Does it make a clinking sound in there? Is it plasticky or is it?
No, it kind of looks slimy. Like I said, I can't get it out of the can.
Why don't you cut the can open?
Slimy.
Why don't you just cut the can open?
What the hell? I was wondering what you thought about it. If I should
cut it open?
Is it pliable? Can you like bend it?
It looks pretty pliable.
What do you think?
Are you sure?
Have you spent any time analyzing this at all?
I stared in the can for a couple minutes wondering what the hell hit my lip.
don't cut the can open.
Right.
Because then you have no proof that it was ever in the can.
How do you know it's not something that, like, came out of you and somehow got in there?
Because it's too big to come out of the hole.
Are you sure it's not a tooth?
Well, I'm positive it's not a tooth.
Just, leave it in the can and send them to him.
Oh, you don't think I should take it to a lawyer? Find out what the heck it is.
What I'm amazed at is that you haven't really even been able to remotely tell us what it is, and I'm sure that you're the same way.
Well, I don't know what it is. I mean, I could cut the can open, but
all right,
I don't want to tamper with the evidence.
Rob is right about that, but again, my question would be, how do you know that's not something that came out of your stomach and up your throat and into the can?
because it's too big to get out of the hole of the can.
Yeah, but it might just be a little piece of plastic or something.
It doesn't
mean it's about an inch and a half long, so I'm assuming.
You could get something an inch and a half long down your throat, though.
Don't you think you'd know, even if he was super inebriated, that there was something an inch and a half coming out of his esophagus?
I don't know, man.
Yeah, that kind of choke you see, that was the first beer.
Cut it open. Go ahead. They're not gonna give you any money for it anyway. It's not like it's a rat or something. Cut the can open.
Yeah, cut it open right now.
Cut it open right now so we
can
find out what it is.
Give me the can.
All right, we'll find out what it is right now. How do you know it's like not like a hardened booger or a hardened piece of snot or something that came out of you?
Or maybe a very long fingernail.
Well, it doesn't look like a fingernail by no means.
Are you cutting it open now?
Well, I have to get the tenseness out of my truck to cut it open.
Do you have the can there?
Yeah, I got the can right here. Like
rattle the can so we can hear what sound it makes.
All right, just a second.
Tiny crap detector.
Do you hear anything?
No.
It's pretty squishy.
See, it's
That's
been squishy, slimy, hard, you know. It's been
it's pretty soft.
Now
it's soft.
You're lying.
No, I'm not lying.
Yes, you are.
Because I've already called them. I can tell you the can before I cut it, because right here's the sound of the can getting cut.
Just cut the can open.
Well, all right, I'm cutting the can open.
All right, what is it? Here we go.
I'm cutting the lid open right now. Wait a minute. It takes a couple seconds.
Come on, let's find out. What's in the Busch beer can?
Let's see what's
know.
In the Genius's...
I think so, though.
Hey, you can't say that.
Listen, you can't keep dropping these cuss words on us.
Well, sorry. It looks like a piece of ham or something in that nature. It's kind of saturated.
Now he's grossing me out. A piece of ham?
That sort of looks like it's white. Might be turkey.
Maybe it's human.
It's a piece of meat?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Were you eating any meat today?
None.
What'd you have for dinner last night?
Pizza.
Rubber balls and liquor? What'd you do to your girlfriend last night?
Rubber balls and liquor?
I don't know what it is. It looks like a piece of turkey or something in
Smell
that
it.
Nature.
Smell it.
Stinks bad.
Stinks bad? What does it stink like?
It smells like rotten meat.
So it's meat?
It may be. I'm not quite sure.
If I was one of the people with Anheuser-Busch, I'd probably say, well, there's no way of proving that rotten meat didn't come right from your intestine.
Yeah, now that he opened
the
can.
As big as it is, it can't get back in the can unless someone forced it in there.
If it was a piece of meat, he could have easily gotten it out of the hole in the can.
Well.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, without any effort at all. But originally it was a triangle, a little plastic.
Yeah, triangle.
Slimy triangle.
I think they'll be able to situate the alcohol content.
What's your first name? What's your first name?
Tim.
Tim?
Yep.
I want you to know one thing.
What?
I know you're lying.
No, I'm not.
I think it came from you. I don't think you're lying, but I think it came from you.
No, sir.
Yeah,
no,
I think
sir.
So. What'd you have for breakfast this morning?
I didn't have breakfast.
Lying again.
No, I don't eat breakfast, so.
Lying a third time. Boy, it's just you're on a string here.
Oh, no, I'm telling you, I don't eat breakfast. I drink coffee in the morning, and that's it.
Coffee in the morning, beer at noon.
You betcha. On rain days, you betcha.
Rubber balls and liquor at night. All right, Timbo, well, thank you for sharing that with us.
Thanks for your story.
All right. Well, I can't believe you don't believe me, because I've already called them as soon as I opened it.
Uh-huh. Right, and what did they say?
They said they'd get back with me in a couple days.
Okay. That's it. Hard, slimy, pliable, triangular.
Soft.
Ham, turkey.
Yep.
Okay, bye.
I hope you record this so I can tell them why the can is cut open.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Good luck.
Great.
I think this could be the windfall for you. This
gotcha.
Buy you a new truck.
Instant millionaire. That's you.
Well, no, I got a new truck. I don't need any of that. I just wonder why there's a solid substance in my beer can.
Take this
truck.
Job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. It's your payday.
Company. I don't need to...
You just won the lottery.
Just got paid.
Friday night.
I wish that was it. I'm not a radio host. I don't need the freebies.
Right.
Yeah, and you're lying.
Yeah, well, you can call what you want, but...
Yep. You know I'm right.
No, I know you're lying.
Be a big... What do you mean I'm lying?
Call call me a liar, so obviously you're lying, seeing how I have three witnesses to the...
He's getting a little too agitated.
Well, yeah, because I don't like being called a liar.
A liar?
A liar.
A liar.
I am a cigarette liar.
Just like Aaron there calls older, so...
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Who knows?
All right, Tim.
Yeah, Detroit... talk to people right
you know something you. I,
right.
I apologize
thank you,
you're not lying
thank you Tim.
You're crazy.
All right, goodbye.
I wish I was crazy, that way I could get Social Security.
Okay. Oh yeah, well you're breaking up all the boys in the construction site. Huh?
Absolutely, you must be the funny guy in the crew.
Yeah, I am. But right. I do have a substance in this beer can that I just cut open for you.
All right, Tim. We'll wait for the headlines. Retarded construction worker becomes America's newest instant millionaire.
Think I can?
Yeah. Goodbye, Tim.
Bye, Tim. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Inability to have any type of greeting or goodbye.
There it goes.
Hi.
All right, here's Eddie from Detroit. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, they just announced the bad news on the radio that you guys are going off the air here on Friday. Is that true?
I don't know. Why would they announce that? If they were going to take us off the air, why would they announce that?
They said somebody from New Jersey, two guys from New Jersey taking over. I don't know.
We said that on this show one time.
That's something we've said. That was a rumor we heard.
Is that just a rumor, man? Tell me it ain't true.
Well, you heard an announcement. That's why you were calling.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, is they just like...
No, come on. Did they make an announcement or not?
What they say, want me to tell you exactly what they said? It was on the radio commercial, and they said 97.1 WKRK in Detroit is welcoming two boys from New Jersey from 3 to 8 starting next week. But that's your guys' time slot. Well, 3 to 6. That's your guys' time slot. So they didn't actually say Don and Mike are off the air. Mm-hmm. I just thought maybe...
I don't know.
Can we move to Detroit?
Yeah, there's some rights that need to be... Some wrongs that need to be right. I was going to say there's some rights that need to be wrong there.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't tell us anyway.
Okay, hey, I appreciate the show, man.
We're always the last to know.
All right, hey, you guys got an awesome show anyhow.
All right, thank you, sir.
Take it easy.
Bye-bye. I'll tell you, we have gotten a tremendous response from Detroit, and
yes. That's
unfortunate if they're not keeping us in our time slot.
You know, when we signed on, we did it as a favor to Buddha Mel.
Mm-hmm.
Because Buddha Mel called and said, please offer your show to the station in Detroit because they have a time slot.
And we did.
And that's the same time slot as your time slot. I just wish that if they're going to yank us next week,
right?
You know, they might want to give us a call first before they start running commercials saying they're getting rid of us.
Absolutely. Nice.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they pissed off that fat disc jockey that they had on before us, and he just pulled the plug on them.
Mm-hmm.
We're not above pulling the plug on someone.
That's right. We can do that.
Maybe they don't know. We've done that plenty of times more than Steve Dahl has.
We're petty. We're pettiest.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike. How you doing?
Hey, WKRK. This is not the best breakfast I've ever had. Hello, last call here. You're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Woodstock. I had some buddies that went up there, couldn't make because I had to work.
I can't believe that people actually went to Woodstock. You couldn't pay me enough money to go to that pile of stinking human garbage.
That's a bunch of idiots. That's why they set everything on fire.
That went to Woodstock this weekend. They rioted at the end of the show.
Let's burn everything. We had such a good time that we are going to burn everything.
I can't. Well, you could not have paid me to go to that. Really?
Well, you're right about that because my friends were telling me that everywhere smelled like human excrement because they only clean the porta potties out like once a day. And one of them, people were getting really rowdy.
That is what caused it, isn't it? I hear that they had inadequate facilities, and that's why they started rioting.
Did you see on MSNBC when they had a copter shot?
No.
Of people getting pissed, no pun intended, and what they started doing was pushing the porta potties over.
Oh,
and then when they would push them over, it made like a sea
of goo,
a sea of human waste.
God.
That
just like a trench.
Yeah, the people then were stumbling upon people that were like trying to buy their $20 hot dog. They look up and go, what is that smell? Oh my God.
And like a river of poo?
You're soaking in it. Oh. And that's when people really started to get pissed.
Oh my God.
And they said where the mud pit was, some of that excrement was running down into the mud pit.
making it a true mud pit.
Right. So that's all I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
So everybody had... It was like getting in the mud, which is one of the big things at Woodstock, had poop on them.
It was funny. I mean, it was funny to watch on TV. I wouldn't have gone there on a bet, on a dare I wouldn't have gone there.
So gross.
Yeah. And the acts weren't that great from what I saw. I mean, it was Alanis Morissette.
Right.
James Brown? Who wants to see James Brown anywhere?
Wasn't as good as Earth, Wind & Fire on A&E last night.
Yeah!
It's the best show I've seen in a long time. That was so... I forgot how much I loved that band in the 70s. I forgot how much I loved Earth, Wind & Fire.
Strong brass.
It was a repeat, too. Was it previously recorded?
Yeah, it was like 2 weeks old.
God, that was a great show.
Woodstock. 225,000 people. Mm. 3,600 acres. One death. A heart attack.
They did have a death.
A heart attack.
Right.
37 arrests, 2 weddings, 500 state troopers, more than 100 acts, a burrito was $10, a cheese pizza, $12.
Unbelievable. I mean, they gouge people out in the middle of the mud.
A 16-ounce bottle of water, $4.
Right, amazing.
Let me see. Planned Parenthood gave away 41,000 free condoms.
So gross.
So gross. 700 piercings.
That's where you want to get pierced.
You had to wait in line to use an ATM 90 minutes. The service charge in an ATM was $3.50. It cost $150 to get in. And James Brown requested 30 seconds of silence for JFK Jr. before he started.
James Brown did.
Yeah, James Brown. Comedy!
Hey!
Comedy!
That's right, surreal.
One more call. Here's a guy that was actually at Woodstock. I hope more of these people call later
right.
in the show.
Yeah.
I'd love to find out what a crap fest that truly was. Hello!
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Hey, you were there?
I was there. I just got back into town about half an hour ago.
Was that the worst time you've ever had?
Oh, my. Well, last night, right after the band, they had to stop the show because of all the bonfires and for all the stuff. They actually were picking up a porta potty, and they, threw it on the fire with, stuff in it.
Mm. Oh.
You saw the stuff coming out in the fire, and it was all burning, and you could smell the plastic, and you could smell the burning excrement. And,
Oh, my God.
It was Mad Max, or you know what I mean? It was, wasted bonfire.
Wow.
That is so horrible.
That's awful.
It was all a bunch of drunk frat boys, basically, mm-hmm. and they were, trying to one-up themselves, I'll go throw a piece of the fence on the fire, and the next group, porta potty.
It's so corporate America. It's right. So everything that Woodstock, the original Woodstock, wasn't.
Exactly.
When they first had Woodstock.
Exactly.
All right.
I completely agree. I love the music, but the people were just complete a-holes. So
I didn't think that anybody good there. The Bellamy Brothers weren't there, were they?
Not this year.
The Bellamy Brothers rock, man.
Oh, man, yeah.
All right, goodbye, you.
So anyways, guys, take it easy.
All right, see you later.
Bye.
I'm sure we'll have more people calling us from Woodstock, as will Rob Grippy, man who lives in his car.
Now, he probably felt very comfortable with the smell.
Yeah. He's familiar with the smell of his own excrement.
That's what he gets about 7 o'clock every morning.
He was there, and he's going to call us at some point.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
How much for the little girl? The women. How much for the women?
What?
Your women. I want to buy your women, the little girl, your daughters. Sell them to me. Sell me your children.
Maitre d'. Maitre d'.
You. How much for your wife?
The Don and Mike Show.
Bingo, baby. The Don and Mike Show.
My wife's got, the queerest thing in our downstairs bathroom,
right?
She didn't like toilet paper sitting out. Like, if people went to the downstairs bathroom, if they opened up the doors right. underneath the sink, she didn't want them to look in there and see toilet paper. You know, I said, well, why would people be looking under there? You know, unless they're like me when I go to
right.
Buzz's house.
Right.
When, you know, I virtually do a
that
search of his entire bathroom.
Does your wife do the same thing? Look underneath the vanity when she goes into a person's house?
I guess
house?
She does, but this doesn't make sense. She said, I don't want the toilet paper under the vanity. So she got a box, okay? She got a box, and on top of it, it's a pear. A pear.
Okay.
Okay? It looks like the fruit, a pear.
Right.
And it's made of wood. And the whole
not a nice pear.
No. Okay. A-P-E-A-R.
Very good.
The whole thing is spray-painted glittery gold. And it sits down by your feet. And you open up this little box, and that's where the toilet paper is.
Can you... The only way
and
I would
on,
say...
Hold on. The point of all of this is that the Reader's Digest fits into that little box.
Oh, really?
That was my point with the Reader's Digest.
Do you put toilet paper in that little box?
Yeah, fresh rolls.
Now, is this... is it reachable from the commode? Can you reach
yes.
the box? Well, see, then...
Yes, you can.
I mean, she's got a little something going on there.
Right.
You can actually reach it.
But it's queer because it's painted gold and it has.
So you put your Reader's Digest on top of
the new roll of toilet paper.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And as a matter of fact, today, you know, I can't win with that woman. I was down there having a nice duke, and I realized that there was no toilet paper, okay?
Hey, Lou.
There's no toilet paper in there. It's having a wonderful number two, a nice BM.
Nice duke.
No toilet paper.
Yes.
So I went out. No one was at home. You know, I just did that deal where I had my pants around my ankles. I
right.
went out and I went to the closet. I got the new roll of toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
Came in, took care of business. And what I did was, I didn't replace the roll. I just put the roll of toilet paper on top of the empty thing that goes
a
round and round.
That
and round.
I've made many times. I don't want to take the time.
She came home and she says to me, she was screaming at me. She said, "What is wrong with your jean makeup?" And I said, "Huh?"
She was upset.
And she said, "What is it in you genetically that you will actually go all the way upstairs to the closet, get the roll of toilet paper? It's obvious, since you ripped it, that you used some of the toilet paper, but then you just can't replace the old roll and put the old roll in the trash and put the new roll on the thing."
I have a perfect answer for that.
Really? What?
You don't want to get your fingers on all the roll stuff, all that stuff that's there. You know, even though it's your own, you want to just sit there, use the paper, and have someone else put their hands on the roll itself.
That's not really it. I'm just basically lazy.
I was just trying to make it sound good.
Yeah, but no, I got to listen. Come on. Look where your hands are when you're in the bathroom to begin with. Who cares about touching the roll?
Yeah, but I've always found the roll to be a little skeezy. You know, a little even though it's perfectly clean in our house, I just don't like it, but maybe. Me too. It's just kind of a lazy thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll just, sometimes if it's a real big one, we get really super big rolls, real, real huge
they
rolls.
They don't fit, right?
They don't fit, so I just put it on the floor.
And furthermore, I like the toilet paper coming around the front. So when you pull on it, you understand what I mean? Because the toilet paper can either come around this side, the front, or it can come around the back.
Over the top, you mean?
I like it over the top.
Yeah, well,
isn't
amen.
That weird?
Amen. Oh, you're both so weird.
No.
I like it underneath.
No, you're weird.
I like it underneath.
That's the wrong way.
Why is that the wrong way?
Because
you pull it up from the bottom and then you rip it. No, when it comes over the top.
If it comes over the top and you grab it and you rip it, it'll just spill out all onto the floor. No, and what you do is you pull on it and you just whip out a whole big hunk of it, and then you definitely rip it off.
Well, by God, you'll have to have the skill of an acrobat to do that.
Robbie, bring me a roll of toilet paper.
Because right.
I can put a pencil and use that as the roller and demonstrate.
I like it underneath. The only reason I like it underneath is for ripping, for the ability to rip cleanly. And I like to take a certain amount out. And I find it much easier to control length when I have it coming from the bottom.
If you practice, you could be an over-the-top guy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
not going to close the door on that. I don't think that's unreasonable.
You'd be happier being an over-the-top guy.
I know that I've had experiences where I've had it over the top, and I've done a yank with the toilet paper, and it is splayed out all over, and I've had that horrible decision as to whether to use the toilet paper that landed on the ground.
You got
to
use it.
I do use it.
You got to use it. You can't roll. You can't roll it back.
I use it after I clean up, around the commode a little bit. But I mean, that is noticeable. I remember that I like it underneath.
With over the top, you can put your fingers or your hand on the top of the roll and make a nice neat tear that way.
You can do that with underneath too.
Okay.
Easily.
Say, this is the roll of toilet paper. Thank you, Robbie.
Dispenser.
Thank you, Robbie.
Just
all right,
like
hold
home.
On to that, Robbie.
All right, let me see.
Go like this. Go like this. First off,
you see, that
you
didn't
need,
work.
Wait, you know
that
what?
Didn't work.
That is a testament to the cheap ply toilet paper that we have here at the radio station.
We have, and it's not always the same. Okay,
you go
there
like
you go.
This. Go like this, then you go like this.
Yeah, see it? No, it didn't. That was not. Let me show you. All right.
And then I take it like this.
I'll bring it around.
And I go like this, and it's like this. And then I don't look.
Thanks for that.
Thank you for the
extra detail.
And then I don't look.
All right, now this is it.
Okay.
Now from underneath. Look, now I will testify to you. I will tell you that I did that much easier.
Give me another try.
Let me do it again.
Give me another try.
One more time here. Okay. Look at that. Look at how neat that was.
I'm not going to give in on this, Mike. The over-the-top method
is better. It did work.
You want it lower? Watch, like where it was.
Come on. We're counting on you, Don.
I got a console in front of me. Move back.
Okay. Ready? All right, here we go.
Okay, now, was that just as easy?
It was just as easy, and I direct your attention right there to the hanging piece of toilet tissue.
And you know what I say that is? That is the poor ply that we buy here at the radio station. That was not a testament to my inability to rip it off as cleanly as you did.
That's always
competition. Yes, there is half a sheath.
Right.
You know, and listen.
And that is really my reason for wanting to do it underneath. I like the... I like the actual no fuss, no muss.
Don't
there.
Smell the toilet that paper.
This is really generic. This stuff is, if you use this on a regular basis,
forget it. You're gonna get all irritated.
Absolutely.
There. And why do they make the toilet paper in these small sheets?
Phenomenal question.
If you actually used it in the way that they dole it out,
mm-hmm.
who could get anything done with this little patch of toilet paper?
No one. Without getting it all over your hands.
Yeah, and it wouldn't clean up.
Way you'd be able to do it if you did this.
You did what? What are you doing with this?
Just holding it very.
What are you doing?
Very neatly,
just like this. And you took just that in. If you really were in an emergency situation, but if you had any real problem up there,
too risky.
Be impossible.
You ever used an envelope? I have in a pinch. When there's been nothing else to use.
I don't know what I've used.
I've used a piece of regular paper. I've used an envelope. Of course, everybody's been in the woods and had to use like a leaf or something.
Yeah. I got in trouble one time using paper towels.
Oh, I used a paper towel one time.
Totally. If anybody ever thinks about
doing
that.
And it backed up our toilet.
To the point, for whatever reason. And I think that is a conspiracy on the part of the paper manufacturers that if you use paper towels, it won't just clog your toilet. It will form some sort of concrete bond in the commode.
How many did you use?
A couple. I use a lot.
Those are large.
You know something? You know what we could do right now?
And it was the same deal. When the plumber came over, because the toilets had backed up.
Right.
When the plumber came over, that's exactly what he said. Mm-hmm. Like, in that telling way, somebody used paper towels in here. Right? I feel the fickle finger of fate coming my way.
That would be the normal amount, kind of a normal first amount that I would use
God.
That's a lot.
That's more than the average person.
I'll give you my average amount.
In fact, we'll do that experiment because I'll do it from scratch.
All right. Here's a pencil. I'll give you my normal amount for a normal Duke. Okay? About like this.
All right, let me see.
Now, how far is it? Do we have a tape measure?
All right.
You can estimate it.
Get it. Robbie, help. Well, here you go.
It's still more than I use.
I'm about 6 feet tall. So I use about 6 feet.
Okay, let me see.
About 6 feet.
All right, I'll try it. Okay. And this is I'm not going to do it jokingly or anything.
Do it seriously. This is a serious experiment. Okay, Will Chamberlain.
Good God, it wasn't that.
Like 9 feet.
It was a lot. It was a lot. Okay. Wait a minute. Hold on. It was a lot, Mike.
All right. It's about 8 feet.
Oh, no.
Closer to 7. 7 feet.
No, actually, it's pretty...
About 7 feet. Let me just see if that's...
It's pretty similar to mine.
I was trying. I just want to make sure I wasn't faking it. All right. No, I'm a little short.
Oh, so you need a little
about
more?
8 feet. I'd say about 8 feet would be normal.
And you don't do this? See, I ball mine up like this.
That's the way I do it. I always get I try to fold it so that there's one side that's a nice smooth side.
Yes.
Not me.
And then, incidentally,
ball it up.
If we're talking about one shot of toilet paper, that has never happened with me. That is not it for me.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, that's it for me. I mean, I'm sure you don't want to do my laundry, but that's it for me.
You never go double dipping?
On the rare occasion that I have to.
Sometimes,
sure.
Yeah, sometimes you have to. Sometimes you have
to. Yeah, but most times, no. Just one thorough sweep.
I am accused of using, a sinful amount of toilet paper.
All right, hold on. Mm. Here's a plumber who wants to tell us why the paper towels are bad. Yes, Ted. Hi, Ted.
It's Tim.
Tim, I'm sorry, Tim.
Hey, Don, Mike, love your show. Hey, Buzz.
Hey, buddy.
The reason they clog them up is every toilet has an inch and a half hole at the bottom. The pipe going through your house is 3 inches, but the hole at the bottom of the toilet is only an inch and a half.
No, that's crap.
Yeah.
And the paper towels are not made to disintegrate as quickly as toilet paper.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Tim. Yep.
All right. Bye-bye.
It's so nice to get a call from a plumber, too. Every time I've had a plumber out to my house with a leaky faucet or a leaky pipe or something, they go, call this guy. And it's some other guy that's installed like an air conditioner or a water treatment PC system. And he says... No, I think that might be your other guy. That's seriously, the 3 times we've had plumbers at our house, that's the skill that they teach them in plumber school now. They can look up and down at the pipe and say, you might want to get the guy that installed the thing out here.
At the Ardinger Plumbing Academy. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, buddy.
over is the best way. But you know, every time I put the toilet paper on the roll, my wife comes over and turns it the other way.
Yeah, you know what? So does my wife.
Divorce material, don't you think?
Yes, my wife does that all the time also.
You might have a preference for over, but I will tell you that I think consistently that if you want the clean break of toilet tissue, which is the primary reason I use it, under will get you your best results because the weight of the roll itself will serve as your paper cutter. It will serve as your paper cutter.
Of course, if you just did it with two hands,
yeah, right, then it's irrelevant.
You get a clean one either way.
Absolutely.
Hello, Dynamite Show. Hello.
Hey, buddy.
Johnny, buddy, in Detroit.
How you doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
Well, you pull it over so that the little floral pattern will show.
Who uses a floral pattern on a toilet paper?
And you can see...
No, not me, but, you know.
Oh, yes, you do. And you
actually,
can...
though, I never change the roll because I got two kids and my wife, and you got to change it every half a day anyway.
Well, I will tell you also that you can see any pattern that's on toilet paper. You can see it even if it's under. It's not like it's on one side. It's on both sides.
True.
You ought to study your toilet paper a little closer.
Thank you. Thank you. Goodbye. Hello, Don and my show. Larry.
Hey, Don.
Hey, Larry is going to tell us how to wipe himself with a 1-inch square of toilet paper.
No, with a 1 square of toilet paper, 4 inches.
1 square. Okay, I'd love one to hear. Square. Wow. Okay.
Okay. Do you have a piece of toilet paper in front of you, Don? One square.
I got it right here. Hold on, I just ripped it. This is the cheapest toilet paper in the world.
What would be the measurement? Would it be like 2 square inches or something like that?
It's more than that. Maybe like three.
Yeah.
But like three, Robbie?
What's four? I would say that's 16 square inches. Right
16 square inches,
okay.
All right.
So fold it in half.
Until right. I did well.
Fold it in half.
And then fold it in half again.
All right, I did that.
So now it's folded in quarters.
Then half a game.
Yeah.
And in the middle of the resulting
square,
excuse me.
I smell a joke. I just want to say something. I smell a joke coming.
It's not a joke. It's a serious thing that I learned in the Army.
Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So on the corner that represents the middle of that big square of toilet paper, cut out a 1/2-inch triangle.
He's doing some kind of a joke.
He's
with
doing
us.
A goof, and then you'd open it up, and it would be like some sort of FU symbol.
Hello, Don Mitchell.
Hi, Don.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, listen. They make that toilet paper where it has one little piece, so after you go potty, you can dab your pee pee off.
Oh no, not right.
Don't ever wipe with poison ivy. Bad idea.
Yeah, right. I know people that have done
Thank
that.
Thank you, sir. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hey, you're on the air. Lance.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, buddy.
First of all, Don, I think it's you. I'm a crumpler, too. I crumple, and I like to load it on the top, and I do a karate chop to rip it and get the clean cut.
Just a karate chop. That's valid.
I'll tell you that Mike is also a crumpler, but Mike is not a crumpler to the extent... that I am.
No, I actually will crumple into a ball. I'm almost like I roll it into a ball, and I want a smooth ball-like surface on the part that's going to touch my bad part.
Okay, well,
I want a very jagged.
You want some
very
you want,
coarse,
like almost using Comet.
Yes, right.
You want actually an abrasive up there.
Comet on the bad part. Yes, Lance.
Well, I actually had some. I had some questions for you. I didn't know what to do. Okay, I wish this was a BS story, but it's not. What it was is I was over at a party, getting, a little bit drunk, and I woke up, I passed out on the couch, and I woke up, and I woke up to a girl's lips wrapped around,
Well, she's giving you a Monica?
She was giving me a Monica.
Really?
And I pretended to be asleep, but I didn't really, I haven't, talked to her or anything, and she's not that bad looking, but does a girl like this have some serious issues? I mean...
I'm getting some CB interference here. Hold on, I'm getting some kind of CB radio interference.
Liar. I'm not lying.
Liar. I'm getting some very distinct interference here.
No, you see, he was lying based on the fact that he started the story by saying, I wish this was a BS story. Which is basically
nobody. It's ridiculous.
He knows he's going to start a lie, and so he starts his lie by saying this is a BS story, which thinks that he will immediately take all the suspicion away from his lying.
But it's okay because I think most guys.
I really didn't think you guys would believe me, but I mean, say it's a hypothetical. Then still give me some advice.
Well, no.
Say, dude, keep her around or what? Get rid of her.
Hold on. Did you really fall asleep at a party, get drunk and pass out, and was a girl really giving you a Monica? Let's just get
to
that.
Well, everyone had pretty much already gone. I was the Iron Man. I was kind of staying up, but I ended up crashing, and she
was in
another room.
Hold on. Please answer the question. Did you pass out, and was a girl giving you a Monica?
I passed out. She was giving me a Monica in the morning.
In the morning?
When I woke up.
When you woke up?
Yeah.
So she was in bed with you all night?
Yeah.
Hmm.
But I didn't know that.
Huh? What do you mean you didn't know that?
I was asleep before she even got in.
Would you like to come clean right now and just say that you made the whole thing up?
I can't do that, guys. I'm extremely serious here.
I mean, I myself can't speak from personal experience, but I've heard that there are some girls out there that do like to wake up their men that way.
Hmm. Yeah, but I'm not even her man.
I mean, I've heard of that. Buzza told me some stories about that.
Have you ever in your life been awakened that way?
Yeah, I have. Yes, I have.
I don't think I ever have.
Yes, I have.
I don't think I ever have. God, what a great way to wake up.
Yeah, it's a good way.
I'm telling my wife that. I want to be awakened that way, and I want it to happen.
I think that's one of those, if you ask for it, you'll never get it.
Absolutely. Right.
You'll never get it.
Right.
All right. Thank you. Goodbye, Lance.
All right, thanks, bud.
All right. Listen, whatever. He was lying, right?
Yes.
But it's okay, because it was a good topic.
It was, and it's ended. Now it's like, I can't stop thinking about it.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey there. Hey, I have two really good toilet paper theories for Don and Mike.
Yes, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hi. Is this Don or Mike?
Yes.
Hi. I have two very good theories for you for the toilet paper. The first one, I have to agree with Mike that it should go over the back, because do you have pets?
Do I have...
Is pets... like a cat or a dog?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course we have pets. Sure.
Me and my cat, and my dog used to do this too. I have a cat now. When the cat gets mad, if the toilet paper goes over the top and down over the front...
They can just paw at it and unravel the whole roll.
Yeah, unrolls the whole roll and drags it all over the house.
Right. Yeah, our cats have done that. You're right.
So we have to put it over the back. And then the theory for the one little piece of toilet paper, you guys don't have to deal with this, but for women, when you do the number one thing, sometimes you really only need a little.
Oh, that's right, a little dab. Do you?
No. Right, but do you ever really use just a square?
No, personally, no. I can't do it, but that's the theory behind it.
That's interesting.
I can't do it myself, but just a thought.
Do girls always clean themselves up after they go to the bathroom?
Because I don't know. Personally, but I can't vouch for the whole female.
I think most women will always do a little dabble. Do you? I'm
really?
Almost, I mean, so. Not all women, but I'm sure, I mean, you know, they're like...
Because guys never do. And I mean, I certainly need to. I come out of the bathroom every time with a big wet spot in the front of my pants. Oh, come on, you've never come out of the bathroom with a wet spot in the front of your pants?
Yes, I think every guy has had wet
right.
spots.
Sure. The guys just don't clean themselves.
Sometimes you're just not aware that, you know, that the river has run dry yet.
Right.
And sometimes it's also depending on, you know, where, you know, what you've had to drink, whatever the, sometimes you just won't wait long enough to finish because it's, at least with me, if I'm standing there too long and I'm not, and there's not like a steady thing happening, I always feel like it's kind of, you know, if another guy comes in here, they might think, you know, why is he standing up there? Why is he standing up there shaking it so long?
Because he likes it.
That's right. Shake it more than three times and you're playing with it.
All right, thank you.
Sure, thanks.
Thank you, goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, we'll take one more call on this. Really, we got a break. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Hey, James.
Yes.
Hi.
Real pinch, you can rip up the cardboard and use it as a scraper.
I've done it. I've done it. The cardboard from the middle of the toilet paper.
Right.
But then what do you do with the cardboard? You give it to a friend. I don't know.
You know, that's a good question. I guess what I did is I took it out to the garbage can.
Or you probably flushed it. Maybe you tried to flush it.
No.
Really?
No, I don't think risky. So.
Took it out to the garbage can?
Yeah, but I've done that. I've definitely taken this to the cardboard middle and used it. I definitely have.
I don't think I ever have.
Really? You haven't lived. You've never used an envelope?
No, I haven't.
You've never used this?
But lots of... I don't think I've used newspaper either.
Well, Mike,
I've used a lot of napkins, dinner napkins.
Oh, yeah. Who has?
Yeah, dinner napkins.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
No problem.
Thank you, James.
Yeah, tons of Kleenex.
We're up on a break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You like Huey Lewis in the news?
Their early work was a little too new wave for my taste. But when Sports came out in 83, I think they really came into their own, commercially and artistically.
The whole album has a clear, crisp sound and a new sheen of consummate professionalism that really give the songs a big boost.
He's been compared to Elvis Costello, but I think Huey has a far more bitter, cynical sense of humor.
In 87, Huey released this. Their most accomplished album. I think their undisputed masterpieces, Hip to Deep Square, songs so catchy, most people probably don't listen to the lyrics. But they should, because it's not just about the pleasures of conformity and the importance of trends. It's also a personal statement about the band itself. Hey, Paul!
Ah! Strike any of your reservations, torching out you!
if you have.
Shut up and listen anyway. The best of Don and Mike.
We had a lady that sent us a dirty, dirty letter. Yeah.
Very nicely standing by, too. Very patient.
Okay, I'll share the letter with you.
Okay.
Then we'll call the lady. Dear Don and Mike, I was wondering if you could help me out with something. I just had my third-year wedding anniversary, and a year and a half ago, I discovered my husband was meeting a lot. I know men do that with their magazines, and I've never had a problem with it. Until it started to cut into my time. I asked him why, and he said he just prefers to do it and be done. My question to you is, what's up with that? Is it normal for a man to every time, two or three times a day? I've tried to seduce my husband. I've dressed up as a nurse, a French maid. I turned our living room into a strip club and gave him a lap dance. I went so far as to offer myself and another girl. He gets aroused, but he won't make love to me. He goes into the bathroom and every time. And I'm not fat and ugly. I'll send you a picture of me nude. That's one of the many reasons I enjoy your show so much. It gets me so hot.
Very good.
Like your liquid latex show. And I love the gift from your station manager. I listen every day just to see if you guys make me at my desk.
Oh, my God.
Wow. It has worked. If I lived in D.C., I'd come down and give you a lap dance. That's not cheating, is it? I have two questions for you. One, what would make a man turn his wife down for sex and then go into the bathroom and have his hand? Two, if I strip, engage in phone sex, or get a massage from a hottie, is that cheating? No sex, no Monica's, no cigars. I'd appreciate your help on this.
This is Lana.
She sent us this letter. We're now going to call her and counsel her.
Good. Because we're here to help, of course. I think people should realize that first and foremost, this show is here as a public service.
I can't imagine why a guy would do that.
No,
he had a chance for real sex.
Right.
Hello.
Hello, Lana.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Don and Mike.
Lana, we finally have some time to talk to you.
We're on the air, Lana.
Hello.
And we've just read your letter again.
Mm-hmm.
About how you're not fat and ugly.
No.
And you offered to bring a girl into your house. You're dressed up as a nurse, a French maid, and your husband still insists on going in the bathroom to be every time.
Lana, who is the celebrity you most resemble?
I've heard people, a couple of people told me that I look like Whitney Houston.
Whitney Houston, okay. But, you're very attractive.
But more people say I look like Beverly Johnson.
Okay, all right.
Baby.
Two hotties in their own right.
Baby, and you're not a pig, right?
No, I'm not. I'm not big. I'm kind of like, well.
You're not a pig, I said.
No, I'm not a pig. You're
not
a pig.
Pig, okay.
Right. He's the pig.
Fat.
He's the pig because he isn't getting the job done. Is that when right?
Listen, we have to do a commercial break, and then we'll come back and talk to you for a whole segment. Let me ask you, when's the last time that you wanted to have sex with your husband, and instead he went in the bathroom and every time?
Probably. Like, maybe about a month ago.
Boy, so now you really haven't had any relationship at all then, huh?
No, no physical contact
since, really?
Like, December. Well, some, you know, like, petting, because what he'll do is he'll pet with me, and then he'll excuse himself, and then he'll come back, and he'll give me an excuse for
him. Oh, my. I'll tell you something. I don't think it's natural that if you have a beautiful woman that wants to have sex, for a man to go in the bathroom and retat instead of having sex with his wife.
He needs help.
Especially if it's a woman who's very hot.
Right.
It sounds to me like she will do just about anything that a man would want her to do.
Is he inhibited? Do you think that's one of the reasons, Lana, that he's just, he's not comfortable with his own sexuality?
It could be, you know, because, like, I'll bring movies home or for us to watch. And in the very beginning, when we first started dating, he didn't want to watch the movies with me. He was really uncomfortable. He would just sit there.
That's because he probably likes to watch them by himself.
He does. And I would loosen him up a little bit, you know, and get him going. And, you know, and now over the years, it's been okay. I mean, like, well.
You know what you have to do? This is just a theory, a lot of theories. I think you got to go the opposite way. You can't push it. You've got to really be the one that, you know, what you want to do is you want to just forbid him from, you know, try to catch him when he's having his personal time, but then, you know, not throw yourself at him.
Have you ever just come out and said to him, listen, you're going in the bathroom and eat every time instead of having sex with me? What does he say?
Well, he says because it's just quicker.
So he is aware that you know he's going to every time all the time?
Yeah, because I usually confront him.
And he's not uptight about
because
that?
It pisses me off. It embarrasses him a little bit.
And what does he say? What's his response?
His response is that he just wants to he just wants to do his thing.
Well, now, why couldn't he just have sex with you and just get it done?
I don't know.
Does he sneak off? Does he sneak off to Sam?
Sometimes he sneaks, but then other times, like, okay, for example, when I did the lap dance thing for him, he said, you know, I did my dance, whatever, and I sat down and was kissing him and whatever, and he's like, oh, honey, you know, this is really great. I really appreciate it. I love you. I'm just really tired, and, you know, I just want to go lay down. And I said, okay, fine. So he went upstairs. He laid down, and I came up 2 minutes later, and he was in the bathroom going for it, and I walked in, and I opened the door, and he stopped, and, you know, and that was my reaction. I just went, and I walked out. I left.
Have you ever helped him with that activity that he likes so much?
Yeah. Oh, you know.
Like, have you done it?
Believe me, it's not for lack of trying different things. I
feel like a real sex therapist.
I know.
I've tried just about everything. I said, you know, sometime let's just go to another city and spend the weekend and
meet, have you ever thought,
meet someone.
Two thoughts here. First, maybe he's got, like, the VD. Mm. And second, you know, maybe he's got a girlfriend.
You know, that was something that that I thought about, but I don't think so. I don't think so. There are no signs. I mean, there's...
Would there be anything in your mind that would want him to avoid intercourse? Is there any reason you can...
How are you down there? Are you okay down there?
I'm fine.
You know what I mean. You're gardening and everything?
I'm gardening, and I've got one child, but I had a cesarean, so I'm not like, you know,
okay,
the black hole or anything.
So as I said, this is a little off topic. This has to be a misprint, right? I'm just looking at this. The ad I just read for King's Dominion. Visit their new 16-acre water park with a 650-gallon wave pool.
Yeah.
Do you know that 650 gallons is virtually nothing?
that's nothing, like 12 right. trash cans.
650 gallons.
It's
got to really
be more than 650 gallons. Right? Yeah. I mean, I know we're right in the middle of talking to Lana about her sandpiper.
That'd be like a dumpster filled with water.
Right. Right. So it has to be bigger than 650
gallons. 650,000 gallon or something.
Now that's
like that.
A wave pool.
That's,
all right.
That's
well,
the Atlantic Ocean.
Check on that, somebody.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. That's a good catch on that, because there's no way a 650 gallon wave pool will be splashing around like in a Dixie Riddle cup.
So Lana,
yeah.
You say it's been a month since you've had any sexual contact with him.
Oh well, he turned me down a month ago. You asked me when was the last time I tried, and he turned me down. It was about
a month ago. Now, do you have any indications that he might be getting something on the side?
No.
Do you know that he's still continuing to every time?
Yeah, he is, and he keeps telling me that he's going to go and talk to somebody about it. But you know, he just yeah.
Have the two of you ever had intercourse?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Okay. I mean, the last time I think was like in December. It was right around my birthday.
Have you ever been every time together?
No. There's a lot of things he's just not open to. We've never taken a shower together.
You've never taken a shower together?
No.
How long have you been together?
We've been together for 6 years.
Six years.
And I've had, you know, I had a lot of boyfriends before him, and I've taken showers with guys before, and that's another thing, too. See, I was his first girlfriend. He was I guess, 28 when we met, and I was the first girl that he'd ever really been with. I think he got a Monica from a prostitute in Hawaii one time when he was a kid. But
he's very open about the fact, in some cases, that he goes and does this. It's not like he totally sneaks off to do it. But no, well, it sounds like he does sneak off to do it.
He does sneak off, but you know what? He's really careless, because I guess after he's done, that little deal that goes on in a guy's head that, you know, says, okay, time to roll over and go to sleep, that sets off and everything else shuts down. And so I'll find evidence. I'll find, like, he'll leave the video in the machine, or he'll just walk out of the...
But have you ever found any real evidence, without being very graphic, and I'm talking about his DNA?
Yes.
Have you ever found that anywhere?
Yes, I have.
Oh, you have?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I have. And then, like I said, there's been times where I've come home early or whatever, and he's not expecting me home. And
these are not the freshest towels I've ever seen.
Right.
Lana?
I'm not going to catch him. So.
Here's a question that relates back to Elvis, who we were discussing earlier. Did he have sex with you before you had your child?
Did he have sex with me? No. He's not the biological... See, that's another thing. He's not the biological dad of my son. He can't get me pregnant. We got married thinking that we were going to have another baby, but he does his business so much that there's no sperm there. It's just semen. And you can't get anybody pregnant if you know.
All right, hold on. Here's a girl who says she dated somebody just like this.
Wow.
Here's Natalie. Hello, Natalie.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, we're doing great.
I actually...
actually dated somebody just like that, to the point where I was so insecure and I was so down on myself, because I would be laying there with nothing on every night when we lived together, and he wouldn't touch me. And it was, there were other problems in the relationship. He told me that the reason why we did, you know, he didn't do that, and he, that every time instead of us having sex was that there were problems.
I must say, for all the guys that have time out there, you know, they need a voice here. You know, if you're just lying there without any clothes on, not that really isn't always the one way. I mean, just lying there with no clothes on.
That does it for me.
I know, for some guys it does.
If I come into a room, I swear to God, and my wife is just changing her clothes.
Right.
I feel like attacking her.
Well, some guys, though, that doesn't do it.
I was, you know, it's like not me just laying there, like, buck naked, just hanging out. I mean, it would be like at night, we'd take off our clothes to go to bed. I'd, you know, cuddle up to him and spoon him and all that stuff, and he just wasn't interested. Always interested in the oral aspect of it, constantly, but would not have sex with me, and because he said he was, you know, eventually I found out that he was unhappy in the relationship, and that, to not do that, separated himself and kept him at a distance from the problems that were really going on in the relationship. Mm. Not that she's not that he's unhappy with her, I'm just saying. He said,
hey, have you ever thought about maybe he's gay?
Yeah, I have thought about that.
Yeah, he was, the guy that I dated was fixated with the whole backdoor thing, too. So I had that as well.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Natalie.
Well, I think the best thing to do for you is to try to catch him, Lana, as much as you can, and just, you know, say, knock it off. I mean, really, be vocal about that, but then not to throw yourself at him, you know, just to you know, make him want it more, you know?
I'm done with it. I mean, we're pretty much, like the other girl said, Natalie said, there's a lot of things, other things that are wrong with this relationship, and so we pretty much just decided to stay together for the, For our son. I mean, he's not the biological dad, but he's the only dad.
He's the father figure.
All right, well, let me answer your questions here, because I don't want to get that other stuff. That's like freaking Dr. Laura territory. Let me see. What would make a man turn down his wife for sex and go in the bathroom every time? I can't imagine. I will have sex with my wife anytime she says to. Anytime. She runs that relationship, man. I'm always there. I'm always ready. I think if you ask any guy, if you give him the chance of having real sex,
it every time.
Yeah, doesn't real sex win out every time?
I would think.
Sure,
Mike.
I would think.
No, I don't think so. Not all the time. I think that you know, in fairness, there are times when sometimes you know you're not going to have a situation where being with a woman is going to be the perfect situation, and then, you know, 2 hours later, all of a sudden, you know, the spirit might move you, and you require that, and you're up. You know, why do guys ever time it at all, then? You know what I mean?
Because my wife won't give me sex.
Right, but I mean, that's not always the reason. I mean, there are lots of different reasons.
Because I'm horny?
If you're doing it constantly, then there's a problem.
I am.
No, if you're doing it constantly and not having, if your wife wants to give you sex and you're only every time, that's a problem.
Listen, I'm
but
not
as far as guys going off and every time, as opposed to having sex with their wives, that happens. I'm sure that happens in many, many relationships.
And it happens with me, but if given the choice.
Okay. You know how your wife and my wife has complained, and I'm sure Buzz's wife has complained, where it's like, you know, hey, I saw the video, Bill, and then I wanted to, and you were tired. You know, she said that. That happens in lots of situations.
And that's normal.
Right.
But I think a lot of times, I bet this has happened to you, if you're getting ready to watch one of those movies, or you're watching them, and your wife comes down and says something to you.
I know what you're saying.
Then you're given the choice. You will go upstairs and knock it out with your wife.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
And I mean, that is, and I think in most normal, healthy sexual relationships, I think that's true.
I think most guys, I understand, all guys, you know, everybody
just figured out what the key is.
What?
Then I don't have.
Here's it, Lana. I've got the solution for you.
Okay.
You can never, ever leave him alone.
hold on. Now we got tons of theories. Let's go to here is Jamie. Hello, Jamie. Turn your radio down.
Up.
Down.
It's down.
Down. What do you want to say?
No, I just disagree with some of the stuff you guys are saying, because me and my fiance, we've been together for 8 years, and we both watch movies, and it doesn't, you know, and we still go at it, and I still meet every time.
That's what we were saying.
We're saying nothing wrong with that. But if you're given the choice between having sex with your girlfriend or meet every time, which would you do?
Oh, sex with her.
Yeah, I think most people are the same that way.
Right.
correct.
And the vast majority of people are the same.
Show me sex with her.
But there. But what I'm saying is there are also those times when you might not be in the mood or you might be tired, and then like even a couple of hours later.
But it doesn't sound like this guy's doing that.
No, it sounds like he's actually.
I got something to add to that though.
What?
If I fall asleep or if I'm tired, okay, I'll fall asleep and I'll wake up and she's like doing her thing with me. You got me?
No. No,
I'm asleep and she's on me.
No, goodbye. Let's see. Here is a Dave. Hello, Dave. You're on with Lana.
Hey, I got a question for Lana. You said originally, Lana, that the reason that he likes to do this is because he just likes to kind of do it and get it over with.
Right.
Okay, because one thing that I worked on in a relationship once was, well, like, we dealt with that kind of both of us when it's just kind of, to answer your question, Don, when guys would do that or choose to go in the bathroom versus having sex, it is just because they want to, like, get it over with. And one thing we did was, you know, if I came home from work or whatever and she just said, hey, if you just want to, like, bend me over the back of the couch and get it done with, then you can do that. And if you just want to have your way with me, and that's it. No spooning, no cuddling, no explaining. You get up and go with the guys. That's the way we kind of started to work on it that way.
You know, that's an excellent
that's a good idea.
Thing.
Yeah,
have you ever offered him a real quickie?
Right, yeah.
Did he buy on it?
His job once I guess that wasn't too cool. But
do you criticize him a lot? I mean, you're criticizing him in front of 5 million people. Do you criticize him a lot?
I don't know who he is.
But I mean, what I'm saying is, do you criticize him a lot in your relationship? Do you spend a lot of time, you know, expressing your frustration, saying, you know, we have a bad sex life, you're always doing that?
No.
Do you do that?
No, I leave him alone because it frustrates me, and sometimes I can start to feel bad about myself.
So these are personal thoughts that you're sharing with us.
All right, hold on. Let's take one more call.
Then we've got a break. I don't know if we'll have an answer for her.
Here's a guy from Louisiana who says the military has a theory on this.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, there's only two types of guys that don't every time, and that's liars and dead ones.
All right, I'm not saying that guys don't
every time.
Hell, I'm every time constantly. But I would rather...
Maybe
he didn't need to know that, huh?
It just makes me laugh, man.
But I would rather have sex with my wife than...
Every time.
Maybe she's not so fresh.
Oh,
God.
I asked her that. I asked her if her hygiene was good.
She's skanky.
Oh, she's stinky.
Oh, dear, that's horrible. What a horrible thing to say.
I don't know that she's stinky. Listen, Lana, here's what I want you to do. First, you do have to send Mike and I some pictures of yourself.
Okay, I have to get someone to take a picture of me, some pictures of me. Mm.
All right. Well, that won't be a problem, I'm sure.
Well, I've got someone picked out, but I think he's afraid to be with me because we're alone together. We're going to go for it.
If your husband's not fulfilling his marital obligations.
Listen, whatever. We do need some photos of you.
Okie doke.
We need some very provocative photos of you so we can tell you... We don't want a picture of her doing it, do we?
Oh, no, I'm just kidding. I had an itch.
Fix me up for doing it?
No, we don't.
Just kidding,
we
Lana.
We just need some pictures of you so we can tell you if the problem is you physically.
Okay.
And that's a good idea.
And you know what we need? We also need some close-up pictures of your genitals. So that we can think, you know, the guy brought up a valid point, and I asked him about the thinking.
That's crazy.
Now, we do need some close-up pictures of all of your important areas.
That's it.
Who's going to take these pictures?
Well, you'd be amazed at the pictures you can take yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get yourself a Polaroid.
And then we'll look forward to it, and then we can have further analysis once we receive the photographs.
I'll try that. Maybe I'll do the latex thing and send you a picture.
Whatever. Just send us some pictures. And you know what else I need just one pap smear. But just send us the pictures, and then, you know, we'll talk to you again. But right now, it's not right. I think we're all agreed it's not right.
Yeah, it's not right. Right. He is having no sex with you whatsoever,
so
and he's doing...
Meantime, can I get a massage? Is that cheating?
No. Here's the thing. If you're going to stay married...
Yeah.
You cannot have phone sex. You can't get a massage because that's going to lead to something.
No,
else.
I mean, if you're committed to this relationship, you got to get. Unfortunately, if you want to stay with this guy, you have to kind of make this thing work.
No, I don't. I don't want to stay with him.
You don't want to stay with him.
But listen, I don't want to be like freaking Dr. Laura. But if you're staying with him for the kid and you hate the guy, this relationship will end up being bad anyway. So either you dump out now or you stay with him.
Okay.
So you're going to dump him?
No.
Okay, well, then you can't strip. You can't have phone sex.
You got to see if you can make this work.
You can't get massages.
He's obviously functioning. You know, he's functioning in the bathroom. You just got to figure out, you know, buy some books.
Listen, send us a picture, though.
Yes.
Okay.
We got to get that picture because something tells me we're going to get a picture back of Star Jones. You know, I'm going to have to see what you look like first before we can make a final decision on this.
Absolutely.
Okay? All right, guys.
You know, all right. That's true.
Thanks.
You finally remembered that. That's the one part of the equation we might be
correct.
Right.
Right. How do we know he's not looking at Nell Carter every night?
Give me a break.
She sent me a letter saying that I look like Whitney Houston, but
mm-hmm.
I've met lots of women who think they look like Whitney Houston.
Absolutely.
She might look like Aunt Esther from Stanford and Son. Who knows? All right. Hold on there, Lana.
Okay, guys.
Hold on a second.
Wow.
Thank you for your love. But our show does make you...
Was that girl?
It has. The one where the station manager gift.
Ah, yes.
That one was good.
Oh, yes. That's...
I was wearing tight jeans that day. So.
That's great. Well, we all did, too. Yes.
No, it's a joke. So the show really has made you...
Was that girl?
And you write here that the show makes you very hot.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get hot during this discussion?
Hello.
Oh, my.
Oh, dear, you naughty
my.
Girl.
Oh, my.
Naughty, naughty, naughty girl.
Do you ever time a lot?
I don't really like to. I mean, sometimes I do because I'm just too frustrated, but...
But it's, yeah, a last resort.
I have. I've gone through my share of toys.
Okay.
Okay. All right, well, hold on, Lana, and we'll figure out how you can get us those pictures.
Okay, guys.
All right, hold on. Thank you, Lana.
You're welcome. Thank
and you. After she sends us the pictures, we can talk about her toys.
Yes, we can.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Nobody!
Who is Nero?
Nobody!
Who is Jack the Ripper?
Nobody!
Who's the swiniest swine in the world?
Capital!
Who's the dirtiest dog in this wonderful world?
Captain
of villainy, murder and loot, eager to kill any who say that my hook isn't cute.
It's cute.
Who's the slimiest rat in the pack?
Cap it up! Cap it up!
Who's unlovable? Who's unlivable? Whose existence is just unforgivable? Who would stoop to the cheapest and lowest of tricks in the book? The creepiest creep in the world.
Cap it up.
Who's unsensible, reprehensible, whose behavior is just indefensible, who's the crawlingest, cruelest, crummiest, crookedest crook?
Regional championships in Yesiree, Bob. Carol Blankenship needs to pick up this spare to take the lead.
Oh, Carol. It's going to be a long ride back to the trailer tonight.
The Don and Mike Show.
Like corn, enjoy it a second time. Second time. The best of Don and Mike.
You heard that conversation I just had with my wife, right?
Yes, absolutely.
She's a piece of work.
Sort of a preemptive strike, I guess, on her part.
Yeah, she calls me up and she goes, "Hi, how you doing?" I said, "I'm doing fine." She's out running errands and stuff. She says, Do you feel like having dinner tonight? Because I don't feel like cooking it. That's what you said. Well, gee, I don't know. Free, do you feel like having your head cut off tonight?
Oh, God.
I feel like being OJ tonight. What do you think about that?
Oh, my God. So no dinner tonight, huh?
I guess not. I don't know. It's takeout, I guess. So.
Takeout? Does she want you to pick it up?
Probably. I mean, we went through the whole thing this morning also. We had a whole big... You know what it was? It was this morning that I woke up. I stayed up to watch the basketball game last night. And then I woke up super early today, a little grumpy when I came downstairs. And I'm thinking about, you know, all the things that I have to do in the day. Right? And I come down and she's already awake and she's all happy and stuff. Right? And I haven't had my coffee yet or anything. And I just... I comes downstairs, she's like, she's talking to the dogs, going, how are the best dogs in the world? Your mommy loves you. And she looks at me and goes, how are you, sweetheart? Good morning. And I went like, and then I got the whole big lecture about, you know, I want us to be able to talk. And when we're not communicating, things aren't good. And if I think you're not listening to me, then things aren't good. You know,
so the happy greeting is followed immediately by somewhat of a lecture.
Right. And then the whole thing I'm thinking is, well, listen, I guess I'd be happy, too, if all I had to do was wake up in the morning and think about, am I going to walk the dogs first today? Or am I going to go get my hair done today? And I don't feel like making dinner tonight. Oh, Christ. Don't get married, Wendell. I've been married almost 18 years, and I want to tell you, don't get married.
Here's Wendell. We talked a lot about Wendell. Wendell, who is the most thoughtful man on the trip recently to Sacramento. There he is.
Right. Hi, Wendell.
Hello, how you doing?
Here's our fantastic engineer, Wendell.
Yeah, Wendell, a recent addition to the family here in Washington, D.C.
And you know, I don't mean that. I do mean if you find a nice woman, and I do love my wife more than anything, marry her. But whatever you do, when you come down first thing in the morning, just pretend like you're paying attention. That was my mistake.
Yes. So because you didn't pay attention, you received
the big lecture.
Ah, okay, now I understand.
You know, and it's not a lecture that you get one time and then it goes away.
Right.
I mean, it's like I got the lecture and I went, okay, message received. Mm-hmm. And I went upstairs and then she followed me upstairs for a little more of the lecture.
Right.
And then I should have known just to take the medicine and say, you're right. But you know what? I came back with an excuse.
Right.
I said, well, listen, honey, I wasn't in the greatest of moods because... so badly a cold.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up early today. I went to bed late last night. I got a busy day today.
Right.
And she says, I don't want to hear that. She says, I don't want to hear that. She said, I don't want to hear an excuse from you.
Right.
Wow. An excuse. It's the real life, honey.
I believe the hotline is ringing.
She is. Hello, darling.
Hello,
darling.
Sugar Bear, I'm sorry. You know what? We don't have to be friends. We can just be roomies.
Oh, Jesus. See, now she's
not
going...
No problem.
She's going the
no
opposite.
Problem. You can be your grumpy self. I mean, but when you're so much sweeter to the dogs than you are to me, I'll get over it, and you're right. And I'm sorry about the dinner thing. That's my job. I'm sure there's days that you don't feel like going to work, and so there's days I don't feel like going to my job.
Honey.
Being your wife.
Honey, come on.
No, it's fine.
Come on. Wasn't that the discussion we had this morning, though? That I came downstairs, and right away, you know, I got the lecture about not listening.
Well, Sugar, you know, your eyes do kind of drift when I try to tell you a story. And I'm just saying, if you were a friend of mine, that we would chat. I never tell you any stories. All I do is tell you information because you don't look terribly interested when I talk to you.
Well, you do want to tell an awful lot of stories, honey. I mean, you do. Mike, does your wife want to tell you stories when you get home at night?
Yes.
I mean,
in the morning
or on the weekend, my stories to my family or when I chat with my mom or my girlfriend.
Oh, I think that's a guy thing. I really do. And my wife does tell me stories, and I do also drift off occasionally. I'm accused of that often, and I think that's a guy thing.
And that is a perfect example.
You know what the final nail in the coffin is?
What?
I can handle you being nicer to the dogs than you are to me. But you act so delighted when you talk to Charles Broyhill on the phone.
Oh, I do not.
I would love to get the anime. Personality that Charles Broyhill enjoys.
I do not speak
you
animated
do
to Charles.
You are ecstatic and happy and a young man in love when you talk to Charles.
You are absolutely lying.
That's not true.
You're 100% lying.
I am not lying. If you would give me the personality that you give to Charlie, I would be on cloud nine.
Listen, I give it to you. I give it to you, but I can only give it to you so much.
No, you know, it's all right. I'm sorry for a flash
split second today, I expected a little more. But
and then
I'll
she
go
says,
back to my happy with any attention I get.
And then she says to me, well, you know, that's why I have to talk to my mother. And that's why I have to talk to my sisters. And I didn't say anything, but I noticed then, I'm glad that I'm not on the other end of the conversation. Because you talk to your mom for an hour, and you talk to your mom about the most piddly, the stuff that doesn't mean a hill of beans. It's like,
right.
Oh, really? You're going to Walmart today. I'm going to Walmart. I'm thinking about getting, I know what it was today.
Yeah.
Today was the discussion with your mother, and I only heard your part of the discussion with her, about if she wants to be cremated or not when she dies.
What was her verdict, Frida?
Well, she was just saying that in some states they have to store you for a couple of days, so we were talking about freezer possibilities and things like this. I mean, it was just a lighthearted, jokey kind of conversation, the kind you have with a friend.
You mean freezing permanently or freezing until the time of cremation?
Just for a couple of days.
Cold storage for a couple of days until she's cremated.
Not cryogenically frozen.
No, what, honey?
It was just a jokey conversation, the kind... See, that's what I'm saying with you, because you get bored so quickly.
Yeah.
All I do is relay information and then I'm gone because you aren't entertained by conversation.
At least right.
Only Charlie Bright's conversation.
Oh, that's right, because he's such a fantastic conversationalist. Honey, have you noticed that my conversation with Broyhill, the longest conversation I ever have with him is like 30 seconds.
Yeah, but, and you love every second of it. I'd have 30 seconds of having you delighted, like you are when you talk to him, than
well,
a half an hour of being
this
bored.
Morning, listen, all right. This morning, it was just, I came downstairs. I'm sorry, I don't have the sunny outlook that you do. I got up, I felt like crap, my ear is plugged up, I hadn't had my coffee yet.
Your life is always crappy for some reason.
That's
or another.
What she says.
You're always
to me.
Either overtired, don't feel good, something important about pending, it's always something.
You know, that's what I said to her. I said, I can't help it, there always is something going on.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, we got this.
Always
big,
a lot of plates spinning.
You know, I said, listen, I got this thing with Mel on my mind, I got this whole big thing with Ken on my mind.
Yes.
I got to call the agent today. I got a million things I got to do today. And that's what she says. There's always something, isn't
there? It is always something. So you tell me the day in the decade, one day when you won't have anything, where you'll feel great, have rested, and won't have anything on your mind, and then, you know, you'll be my good
friend. And didn't I give you that day? What did I tell you? What's the day I gave you? I said Thursday. I said Thursday I'll be fine. Thursday we'll be done with all the conversations about this new deal and everything.
Right.
All right.
And I gave you that date this morning when we were having this argument.
Good. Then Thursday night, you and I have a date to go out, and we'll see if you act with me like you do when you talk to Charlie on the phone.
Okay. It's
right.
A date.
And one other thing, Mike, happy birthday.
Thank you, Frida.
And I'm thinking about you just as much as you thought about me on my birthday.
God bless you, sweetheart. I appreciate that.
Okay. Love you, honey.
All right. Love you, too. Goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
You know, I always feel special when I get a little big, too, at the very end. I really do.
So I just want to know, you go through that same crap, though, right?
It just should be said. And I'm going to tell you this, because, and I'm probably going to get in trouble if my wife is listening, but I'll tell you why. I think when you and I do what we do, our job, what little time, we don't go 8 hours like everybody else does at work, but what we do is talk and listen, talk and listen, talk and listen.
Mainly talk, not a lot of listening.
But we also do listen. And I mean, that is the job we have. That is exactly what we do every day. So I think that when we get out of that, it's a little difficult sometimes to focus on talk.
Mm-hmm. No, listen, it's really not. And I wish I had the balls to say this to my wife.
Well, see, now you know what you've done to me now. You know what you've done. It's really not. Now she's going to say, well, he said it's really not. So
but it's not... All right, I'm just speaking for me, not for
Mike.
I have no problem listening to my wife if the stories are just a little more interesting.
Oh, okay, you know, you're on
like,
your own there.
It's like, you know, when you get to the mother-in-law, if she's going to be cremated or frozen, it's
right.
Like, you know, I walk by and I go, why are you wasting time on God's green earth having this discussion with your mother for an hour?
Right.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me. That's not Mike.
But that's why sisters, twin sisters, and mothers exist, because... That's how, you know, women can vent that, I guess.
I know
that when I'm talking, the reason I'm so stammery and stuttery here is because I know that if I don't phrase it properly, I'm going to get in a great deal of trouble.
Even on your birthday.
On my birthday, no. My wife, sometimes I will request my wife's company to do something. My wife makes fun of fat men on television in a very funny way. And there was a guy on the Golf Channel today, Peter Alice, that was doing his show. And I asked her to come into the room. I said, come on in here, because I knew she'd make fun of the guy. And she did that. So I can say that sometimes I'm not focused on her conversations all the time. Oh, God.
My wife would shoot you right down with that. I already know what you think. Well, that's great. So when you want to talk to your wife, it's when something's on television. I'm already trained.
Yeah.
This is very valuable therapy.
I'd like to thank my sister for her poem. She gave me.
You know, I wasn't going to say anything to you in the office. Mm-hmm. I know Bertha's put up on the screen. We have to get to the girls.
Right.
But I just want to mention.
Yes.
This is the same sister that, was it for your birthday or for Christmas, that she sent you a picture of something.
Yes.
Out of a magazine.
Yes.
And as far as I know,
yes.
You never received it, did
Absolutely.
You?
Oh, my God. Absolutely. I should be completely clear, because I'll get called on this. The poem included for a vacation during the summer to come up to you know, her place in Boston and go see some Red Sox games and visit. So it was like...
Cheap!
Yeah.
I don't want to say anything.
Okay.
That's kind of on the cheap. Happy birthday. Here's
a poem.
You know
what I did?
Come stay at my house.
I called her back. I said, yes, we'd love to. And as a matter of fact, we'd love to drop the kids off for 3 days. And you can watch them, because it's a very nice offer. And she agreed to that, because I had her. You see, it was right. Like a point counterpoint. And when I said that, yeah, you know how when the tone is like, yes, of course, yeah, of course we will. Of course, yes, we'd love
did
to.
Did you ever bring up that whatever it was, a holiday, when she just gave you the picture of something out of a magazine?
Well, I didn't bring that up, but you know what I gave her for her 40th birthday? I gave her a bracelet.
Wow.
A really, really nice bracelet.
And she gave you a poem.
Which is like the best gift I ever gave her under any circumstances, because it's a sister. You don't buy yours, at least in my family, you don't buy brothers and sisters. You just don't get each other. But for her 40th, mm-hmm. because it was a surprise party for her 40th, I got her this very, very nice gift, and I received
a poem.
A very nice poem.
Okay, let's bring the girls in now.
I wanted to, and the purpose of this was simply to say, thank you. Thank you.
The next time you talk to her, tell her I haven't forgotten that time that she sent you a picture
of a piece of furniture
from a catalog. And mm-hmm. I said to Mike, you know what? That's a pisser.
Right.
When
right.
somebody just sends you a picture of something from a catalog, you get a card that has a picture that says, this is what you're going to be getting.
Yeah. And once again, I would like to say to all of my sister's friends that live in this area, because she used to live down here, do not call her.
Oh, forget that.
Yeah, but they always do. Do not call her, please.
Hi, girls. Let's welcome the gals now from Dream Girls.
Dream Girls.
International Hello. Female dancers. Hi, girls.
Hey.
Highly rated, prompt, reliable service. They're on the web at www.privateviewings.com, or you can call at 703-893-7111. And
smells
in.
Like perfume in here.
Sign in, girls. Who are you, girls?
Hi, I'm Shelby.
Shelby and?
Samantha.
Shelby and Samantha, that's Mike.
Hi there.
Hi, Mike.
It's his birthday, but
happy
because...
Birthday.
Thank you so much. But he will be receiving all the favors for
and
my
that's
birthday.
Fine.
That's
fine. You've
good.
Got a wife and you've got a... That's good.
Yeah, that's good.
That is our engineer, Wendell.
Right,
now,
man.
Wendell, pull the microphone over there, Wendell.
Wendell's a single man.
Are you prepared for this?
Yes. as prepared as I could be.
And I understand you girls want Madonna, Ray of Light.
Okay,
I got it.
Very good.
You ready? I'll crank up the jam.
Very kind of hippie chicks we got in here right now.
Robbie, you got the speaker going there?
Okay. All right, very good.
And it kicks in right here.
Now Wendell is getting the first hippie chick.
Now, Wendell, you gotta tell us exactly what she's doing here.
All right. She is playing with her wrap there a little bit. I'm seeing some belly.
Oh, thank you. You're seeing something else. I really thought you were going to say I'm seeing some tea.
How close were you to the dump button?
Pretty close. Now, I really, you know, from my angle, I really can't see Wendell, so you're going to have to describe it.
Through those pants off the...
I do see that there's a can of Ready Whip here.
Yes, that's an intriguing...
fascinating.
Beer there.
Now, what does she want to do? What do you want to do there?
She's coming up onto the riser. She's on the riser so she can get a better look at Wendell.
Okay, now, what is she doing now, Wendell? You've got to give us some play-by-play here.
That's one strap off the shoulder there.
Right.
One strap off your left shoulder. One strap still up there.
I like hearing Wendell give the technical description of what's going on here. That's an interesting brassiere she's wearing.
Yes, it is.
Wendell?
Yes, it is. I do.
It's like a see-through almost. Isn't
yeah.
It?
Uh-huh. Very nice lingerie. She's obviously a girl that works out.
Yes, indeed.
What is she doing now, Wendell?
Right here, yes. A little bit of...
What is she? Now, it looks like
if I started making Dennis noises.
I get it. It looked like perhaps Wendell's lap was
on thong here.
Yes.
Like Wendell's lap was on fire, and she was trying to put out the fire with her butt.
That is exactly what she's trying to do.
And that's pretty
pretty damn close to the truth, as a matter of fact.
Now, would she take it off her skirt?
Yes, indeed.
It's kind of like a little sarong or something like that.
That's the word I was looking for, a sarong.
A sarong, yes. Yeah, right. Now, play to him. Play to him.
Yeah, don't forget you. Oh, Wendell is officially the birthday boy today.
That's right. Absolutely. Mike, I wish every day was your birthday.
Well, thank you, Wendell. That's very kind.
All right, now she's just in her underwear.
It's thong underwear.
She has a bra on and a thong.
Yes. And a little less thong and a little less bra as we speak now. Hello. There's a little bit of aureole.
Wendell, this isn't a biology class.
Very nice mammalian protuberances, if I may say so.
Oh, God. Wendell, you're making it sound like we're on the Learning Channel or something like
now
that.
Now, what's happened? Wendell, what's happened now?
I'm being strangled by a bra, and if I had to die today, this is how I would want to go.
She's topless now.
What do they call that, Buzz? If he was strangled, that would be
autoerotic asphyxiation.
Wouldn't it be auto, since I'm not actually doing
No, not auto. This is erotic asphyxiation.
And Buzz, how come you haven't turned off all the lights in your room like you occasionally do?
Well, maybe later in the show.
Oh, my.
Uh-oh.
Here goes the thong.
Uh-oh. Thong coming off here, boss.
She's taking her underpants off.
Is she? And they're down, and they're up, and they're down,
up and down,
and they're up, and they're down. And it's working.
Wendell, how are you enjoying the show?
I'm enjoying this thoroughly.
Now, are her underpants on or off, Wendell?
Her underpants are on.
They're kind of in between right now.
There isn't much of them to be on back here where I'm standing, sitting. Well, parts of me are sitting.
She's, they're off. Underpants are off here.
Totally naked girl.
There we go.
All right.
Totally naked girl.
And now the shaving cream.
That's whipped cream.
Whipped cream. Oh, my.
Wendell, what are you doing now? What are you doing? Wendell, what are you doing?
I guess it's
whipped cream. Wendell can't talk right now. He's eating whipped cream.
Face full of whipped cream.
He's eating the whipped cream off her body.
Wendell. Wendell's a bad boy.
Oh, Wendell.
Hey, Wendell didn't know you had it in you.
Wendell!
Way to go, Wendell!
Yeah!
Way to go! Round of applause for Wendell!
Yay. Wendell went Fantastic. A little farther with it than she wanted him to go, I believe.
Oh, look at you all covered with whipped cream now. Oh, my.
Wendell wanted some pie with that whipped cream.
Yes,
I'm
down to Dream Girls.
Absolutely.
Got a selection of beautiful women.
All right, now is your friend here, in case Wendell does something, and does she pull out, like, a gun or something like that?
I think she's, the manager, isn't she?
The manager, all right.
No, she's my
She's your what?
Escort.
Gotcha. Well, thank you, girls.
All right, thank you very much. Yeah, I guess we need... I think there are towels down the hallway. You can just walk down the hallway naked and you'll get a towel for
Wendell, you are a freaking animal.
Any help.
What you want to say is Wendell's got his whole face covered with whipped cream. I'm proud of it. Wendell, you are a freaking animal. I mean, I think she just wanted you to eat the whipped cream off her belly.
Hey, but you know, Wendell... I thought I was supposed to spread it around some to the parts that she had missed.
That's right. Wendell, you know, he saw an opportunity. Newfound respect for Wendell.
Yeah.
You got to go for it in life.
So Wendell went up... You know, by her boobs,
right?
And that was okay, I guess.
That was okay.
And then he started to go
belly button.
And then he got south of that, and
that's right.
I guess it's not the first time you've had your hair pulled back like that. Huh, Wendell?
you notice I'm missing a little in front here. Starting to recede a little.
Wendell went a little too far.
Smell pattern baldness, but.
Wendell, I admire
how
you.
That happens.
I admire that. That's the way a nude should be received. That's in the great tradition of Mr. Jim McClure.
Yes. Very vigorous. Yes, go ahead. What would you like to say?
I'd just like to say thank you. And
thank you.
Wendell, I'm going to clean you off a little bit.
Oh,
yeah. We've got all different types of girls down at Dream Girls. Come and see us.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, John. Happy birthday.
All right.
Thank you, girls. Thank you, Dream Girls.
Thank you.
Bye, Dream
Sorry
Girls.
That Wendell couldn't contain himself, but he wanted to go a little farther with that.
I tried so hard, too.
Oh, and look who's joined us in the studio. It's Mike, the new guy that's answering the telephones.
Mike, good to see you have a good, healthy interest in that kind of stuff. It's one of the fringe benefits working on the Don and Mike show.
You'll be one of the next ones to receive one of these, Mike.
Don't worry, Mike. You'll get your opportunity.
Welcome.
And you be just like Wendell. You go as far as they'll let you.
Wendell. Jesus Christ. All I saw is the head go down further and further and further.
And then you got a little pain in your neck because your head kind of snapped back when she grabbed your hair like that. You know?
Oh, no.
That's
Thank
terrific.
Thank you very, very much.
She didn't mind, Wendell. She gave you a little kiss
She's
on the
sweet
hand.
On you, Wendell.
Yes, sirree.
All right, guys.
Okay, thank you, girls.
Okay, see you back at the commune.
That's Dream Girls. And they're on the web, everybody. www.privateviewings.com.
Dream hippies.
You know, I don't think that she had any plans to take that as far as you took it, Wendell.
Mm-hmm. Really? Well, she didn't lay out anything in advance. There was no dotted line to
it. I agree.
There was no line in the sand as it
were. You're right. Right. No script, Wendell. No script whatsoever.
All right. Well, get out of here. Go wash your face, Wendell.
No, I have to.
You've got girl and whipped cream all over your face now. Get out of here. All right, bye, Wendell.
Round of applause for Wendell, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Wendell.
Wendell,
nobody
nice
better
job.
To receive my thank birthday. No, that's thank okay, you. Wendell. I mean, you have your hands all over that grill, you know. All right. Thanks, Wendell.
Christ, he is one horny guy.
Sure. But that's, you know, you want to see a guy like that get the nude.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
I just had it from the back angle and I saw Wendell and all of a sudden he just went, but I did see the head come back like this.
He went down there and at first she was like, what's he doing with that? No! Grabbed his hair and pulled it off.
There you go, Wendell.
Well, happy birthday to you, Mike.
Yeah. Thank you. That was great. That was a good show.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Any cold pasta?
There was some ziti, but it all got eaten.
The whole tray? From last Sunday? Monsignor Jughead was here.
If you are referring to Father Intintola, yes, he was.
Hmm.
He spent the night here.
The priest spent the night here? What happened?
Nothing.
Then you're telling me this because...
You might hear something. Take it the wrong way. His car was out front all night.
You know what? This is too f***ed up for me even to think about. What'd you guys do for 12 hours? Play, name that Pope?
He gave me communion.
Oh, I'll bet he gave you communion.
Excuse me?
Well, Carmela, the guy spends the night here with you, and all he does is slip you a wafer?
That's verging on sacrilege.
Oh, I didn't mean to verge.
What, you think I'm lying?
I don't know, but the whole thing sounds...
Would I have told you about it voluntarily if there had been anything to be ashamed of? Do I look like the friggin' thorn bird over here?
He's a fag. That's it. Because otherwise, I got to question what I'm hearing here.
The Don and Mike Show. Lick the beans. The Don and Mike Show.
It can come now on JFK with cash for you and me.
Low budget Jeff Hardy. Well, listen, I gotta bring him right in.
Hey, Donnie.
Hey,
Benasera.
It's my cousin Luigi, everybody.
Hey, Donnie.
Hey, Benny.
Hey, Sergio Alfredo. Hey, Benny. Benny, Donnie. Hey, Gonorrhea Ferrari. Hey, how you do?
I'm doing great now. Cousin Luigi.
Work on English for you.
Good.
Yeah, fantastic. All right. See, calamari, nice obuscio.
Now, do you have, I know that you have quite an agenda today.
Oh, bellissimo, Nipolina.
You know, he has many, many thoughts. He reads all the tabloids. He watches hard copy entertainment tonight.
Sì, good. Yeah, fin corso Ariolo.
My cousin Luigi from Italy.
Hazzo Bubalina.
Do you have a feeling about the Frank Gifford story?
Oh, sì, Donnie. Yeah, Frank Gifford.
The gift,
yes.
The gift.
I try to talk English no good.
No, your English
I
is fantastic.
I have to tell you, in my native tongue, the Frank, Icati Lee.
Yes.
Frank Icati C.
And you know what the C stands for, right?
Sì, Dani. Oh, yeah, Maggiore, sì. Frank Icati, sì. Sportscastolino Horn Dog Agio. Grande Horn Dog Agio. Frank, give.
The gift.
Give. In a hotel room, squeeze of resto, soc pesolina, heavy petagio, culminati in la intercorso intenso on a videotape.
Yes.
Give.
The gift.
Why so stupid to give? Susanne Giancioni is la horario.
Oh.
Intenso. No, c'è solo la prostituta. C'è solo la Cathy C. Frank Gifford. Cathy C.
My cousin Luigi has a lot of very strong opinions, and I want to say right now that his opinions are his own.
Cathy C. possesso la grande prestagio.
Oh, the trophies.
Prestagio perfectamente. Givo la Cathy C. the squeeze of gif. Come on, focaggio. Con le ringhi fasul. Robola Asasio di Kathy Sighi. Decido. Act la age, oh, give. Act la age.
Yeah, he's your age, isn't he, Cousin Luigi?
Oh, he's a little older than a Cousin Luigi.
How old are you?
I don't tell a lie. He's 61.
And a lot of folks wonder what my Cousin Luigi looks like. He looks a lot like my my grandfather. He's an Italian guy, almost a shaved head. He's got a little bit of hair on the top. He always has the two-day growth of beard.
Cubolino, Cubolino.
He has the old man undershirt on.
Oh, grande testacali.
Always, yes, really big ones.
Oh, yeah, spugio grandissimo.
And always has that smell like of garlic and onions about him.
Oh, hardissimo, Napolino. Galico. Gif, I talk about the old man, Gif.
Oh, yeah, he's an old man. He's not young like you, Cousin Luigi.
At an age of Gif, all the football star, leather helmet, nursing home materiale. Sono l'uso controllo per la facoltizo. Pupo e la pazzo. Pupo e la pazzo. You're not the caro.
He speaks halfway English and halfway Italian. And after you've heard him a little while, I think you can maybe interpret exactly what he's saying.
Sì, Frankie Fordo è drooling o has been. Sette la mente in la casa con Katy C.
Listen,
la casa con Katy C. Stay at home, Gif.
What would you do if you were Gif? How would you treat Katy C?
Oh, let me tell you about Katy C.
What about Katy C?
Oh, parte con carne, bene, snacce aromatico. Bene, subito scrugio per la più vista sciocco e la ora frazio. Sì, bene finolino, bene finolino, mangio il rettico. Mangia rettico, Katy C. Luigi, you go crazy, man.
Oh, so you like Katy C, me too.
Oh, Katy C, stay home.
You'd have to duct tape her mouth or something so she couldn't talk.
Bigo mouth, run the mouth, that's okay. Great, grande prestagio, squisolino, squisolino day and night, give. Sera la mente la casa. Con Katy C, with the braccios, Corilino in casa Dio. E la testo Chardonnay Chablino.
Long time ago. They're dogs.
Long time ago. Give. Trabalino por Give. Long time ago. Mangia pupo.
Oh, yeah.
Por la Give. Mm. Yeah. That's the only way you make it right with Katy C. Grande prestagio. Bigo Asasio. Bigo Portolina. Vito Sagagio, cottage cheese.
I know you're very opinionated, Cousin Luigi.
Oh, see.
How do you feel about another tabloid story? Do you have any comments on famous sportscaster Marv Albert?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. Come si dice questo in italiano? Marv Albert. Sì, grande. Two TV horn dog agios.
Two horn dogs.
Oh, sado mio. Digo, perverto. Uso latito backbite su questo sexuale frastolino, sports gastolino ilonlio hotel room. Requesta oralino stimulate. Quando ricevo la oralino stimulate, grande temperamente esplosione. Torna la amica alla stomaccio. Bite la bacco. Wildo canino. Wildo canino.
Canino. That means like a dog.
Wildo canino, Marv Albert.
Canino.
Bito, terragio off a tupo. Uso tita, Marv Albert. Dove io orlino stimulate? Dove la trissimo? Trissimo con a Paul Maguire. Dove la trissimo con Bill Walton? Bado.
Cousin, I don't think you wanted to have the three-way with Paul Maguire or with Bill Walton.
Yeah, three-way or a lino stimulate con la brodo. With a no name. Bado, brodo, lino, bito and a backside. Bad Marva. Yes. Now, Senor Albert, dami.
Senor Albert.
Senor Albert face a grande conseguento por la azione.
That's right.
Grande giurilino. Grande embarazamente con la sports fans of the world don't consider Marva Albert to pay perverto. E la polizia requiro tini tiny sampolistos con la fiori fuori pubblicano. Marva Albert sito in la cerolino e la police guy.
Now you're hearing it. What happened to Marva Albert?
Remove la fuori pubblicano. Slow agonisto. Une, bam, due, and three. E Marva Albert scream as you. Soro pubblicano. Good luck to you, Marv Albert. Yeah. Baby, baby, tu peperverto.
Cousin Luigi, I think.
Beautiful.
Very opinionated, Cousin
bene,
Luigi.
Oh, bene, Gino e Brigida, nice of the John. Bene, bellissimo, Nattolino e Messiano, Liquido, Sfugio, Tompo, Vigo, Pirolino, Prima la Torre e Giacchinino, che naino doggy style. Bene, bene, Dani.
Well, all I know is that sometimes you get talking so fast, it sounds like you're saying some really dirty stuff, but I know it's just because I don't speak the language.
Oh, sì, sì, hardissimo, Nipolino, no, no, Geronimo, gigante balista, sì, grande cagolino.
What about Buzz? Do you have any comments on Buzz Burbank?
Oh, grande G.I. Joe, furissimo. Furissimo, yeah, made for life. Made for life,
And what about our own Charlie Broyhill?
Charlie Broyhill. Let me tell you, Charlie, farzo, pasta farzo, Broyhill. Pasta farzo, grande pasta farzo. Farze con carne, con chili. Chili farzo, tuna farzo. All sorts of farzo con Broyhill. Broyhill with a grande farzo. Smell like Defaggio. Defaggio in the Porto.
And finally, what about major disappointment, Rob Spiewak, Major D?
Grande Scrugiavio. Yeah, disappointment, day one, day two, Monday, Tuesday, disappointment. Grande Red Chico Sino with a big assaggio, gigante, e dietino pilzo. Eat, mangio, dietino pilzo, lose one pound, 10 pound, laialino, full of pupaggio.
Oh, you are so opinionated. Wow. Listen, si. Cousin Luigi, we must break.
Oh, spiwacko diarrhea.
When we come back,
si.
We will play low budget Jeopardy. I think we have a champion.
Yeah, Pino Grigio Vaginate.
So we, yes, I agree.
Testa cali ravioli.
We need a challenger.
Hey, bene. Bene, sodomio, sexuality, and abbozzo.
So call at 1-800-636-1067. That's our telephone number. We'll take a challenger right now.
Assaggio pimpare.
We are playing low-budget Jeopardy.
Oh, yes.
With a slightly Italian slant. Oh. Let's meet our contestants here, Cousin Luigi.
Oh, yes. Sing a song. Oh, yes. Sodomio, sexuality. Go ahead, Dani. And contestando. And this is English part of the program. Oh, okay, this is a low-budget Jeopardy.
We did have one last question before we meet our contestants. Did you comment on Rob Spiewak's new diet?
Oh, sì, yeah.
Did I miss that?
Laiolino, tempando, D-S-E-O-A, the 1 pound, Diet pilo, papo like a candy, no estapo, la fazzo, love a handolino.
All right, I just wanted to make sure that you commented on Rob's diet.
Yeah, this is low budget Gebardino. And now entering the studio.
You see, what my cousin was saying was that although Rob is claiming to have lost 10 pounds, it doesn't look to us like he's lost one.
Oh no, soyolino scitto. Bene, bene, adesima di pelino. Piccolo e sannai, corissimo pubicano. We are con il lingui marinari. I introduce guests. This low budget Jeopardy. Now here come an attorney. Sharkosino in la Andro Rocco. From a DC, Sean Haley.
Hello, Sean.
Hey, LQ. How are you?
Listen, we will let you play the game, even though you're a lawyer. How'd you get through our screeners?
Slipperilino. Oh, yes, bottom oceano. Okay, now entering the studio is a teacher.
Oh, our champion, yes.
Teacher Lino Luigi Strampazio from Athens, Georgia. Let's say hi to Kathy Spencer.
Hi, Kathy.
Hello, you.
Hello, listen, being our returning low-budget Jeopardy champion, Kathy, how has it changed your life?
Well, I haven't really had much time to enjoy my status as a champion since I've been nursing the wounds on my back from last week's co-host.
Oh, dear, coitino interruzione. That's good, Sean and Kathy. Now entering studio host Jeopardy, the grande Tescacari. Let's welcome Alex Trebeke Geronimino.
Hey, thank you, Cousin Luigi.
Bene, bene, bene.
Mangia.
Con
bellissimo fiumicano di Guido Spugio.
Baby.
Sampo Bigo Pinolino.
Hello, Sean. Hello, Kathy.
Hey, hello.
Now, listen, kids, don't forget, answer the form of a question. I live with my mom wearing clip-on ties. Shoot by Mr. Guy. Call me Alex Lister. Play the game. That's the quizmaster. And always call him my cousin Luigi. You tell it like it is, cousin.
Danny Ejaculatore Tortellini.
And here are your categories, kids. Hey. And they are celebrity weight.
Oh, CBS or Carmazzone?
Initially speaking.
Ah, that's my baby Dario.
Celebrity scandal dominoes.
Oh, calamari nice a bucio.
Tom Cruise movies.
Oh, Corvetto Pinolino Minuscule.
And syndicated television show ratings.
Oh, con sexaggio Toccolino Pazzanatore.
I don't know what that has to do with syndicated TV shows.
Eh, bene, bene. It's all Greek to me.
Celebrity weights.
Dimparo, caro Cisio.
Initially speaking.
Chinaino Daggy Style.
Celebrity scandal dominoes.
Asio Brefagio.
Tom Cruise movie.
Hazzo Bobolina.
And syndicated TV show ratings.
Okay, no stupidito. No stupido di cosina. No, no, no.
And Sean, you are the challenger. Oh, but you know what? You're a lawyer. So we will start with Kathy.
Naiolino, like a rabbino, rabbino, spivacchio, con la timpanzo. B.S.io.
Yes. Kathy, you go first, please.
I'll take Tom Cruise movies for one.
Okay, here you go. This Tom Cruise movie co-stars Robert Duvall.
Oh, gosh. What is The Color of Money?
Oh, my. No.
Oh, dear. Oh, stupasino. Sean, time to steal you.
What is Days of Thunder?
Yes.
$1 for Sean. Grande, grande cerebrum. Go ahead, Sean.
Let's go for Tom Cruise movies with two.
Tom Cruise movies for two. Co-stars Paul Newman.
What is The Color of Money?
That's what it is there,
grande,
Kathy.
$2. Mary Elizabeth Mastriantonio. Oh, Beno Giganti. Oh, Luigi, love Mary Elizabeth Mastriantonio.
Yeah.
Oh, she's so hot, so grande bovalina. Nipolina protrude. Ah. Hey, go again, Sean.
I will go to Tom Cruise movies for three.
This Tom Cruise movie co-stars Leah Thompson.
Oh, bene, bene, Leah Thompson, yeah.
Well, she's all right.
Oh, Tangalino Loporto.
And no answer.
Okay, Kathy, your chance to steal.
What is Risky Business?
Risky Business, no. That's...
No.
It's All the Right Moves.
All the Right Moves. Tom Cruise, oh, yeah, Puntangaggio Magneto.
Yes, he's a poon magnet. Even I understood what you were saying there.
Puntangaggio Magneto.
He's a poontang magnet.
Sean, are you in control now?
Let's go with Celebrity Scandal Dominoes for one.
All right, now please remember how this works, that you have Giff, who was taken over by Marv Albert,
right. Yes.
Who was taken over by Tim Allen.
Activino, right. Activino and Lagroino.
As we continue the celebrity scandal dominoes, Tim Allen, who was DUI, leapfrogged this week by another tarnished celebrity whose story has new details.
Ooh,
who is...
Oh, Craniame Vecento. Kathy, your chance to steal.
Who is Brian Gumbel?
No. Oh, getting ahead of yourself.
So close.
I have Marv Albert next because they had to take his pubic hair.
Yeah, tobacco. Yes, pubicano, pain falale.
Okay, so Kathy, here's your next question.
Sean in control. Sean is in the control.
Did she get it right or wrong?
She got it wrong.
Oh, my mistake.
You jump ahead.
My mistake, cousin Luigi.
Gigante, grenaggio, spizzo, true yeah. Lascio, preparazione, grande, worco, worco, hazzo, sono, slipperino, andracolo, lino.
And I'm sorry, you know why I lost my place in the show? Because I was just thinking how great Rob Spiewak looks with that 10 pounds he's lost.
Oh, bene, bene, Laiolino. Yes, a biesio.
All right, I am sorry. The
stomace pendulato.
The answer there was Marv Albert pubic hair. So here you go for two.
Cottage cheese.
And back to you, Sean.
In your mano rapido.
The Marv Albert pubic hair story was replaced in Celebrity Scandal Dominoes by this former Today Show host.
Who is Brian Gumbel.
Yes.
Hey, bene, $2, parte con carne. Go ahead, Sean.
Let's close out the category.
Bryant Gumbel, being in a hotel room with a woman who wasn't his wife, was replaced by the problems of this friend.
Who is...
Oh.
Chandler.
Oh, Kathy, your chance to steal.
Need his real name.
Who is Matthew Perry?
Matthew Perry, that's right.
Oh, bene, Kathy, bene. $3, three lira for you, Kathy. You select again, please.
How about initially speaking for one?
Ah, that's a good one, Kathy. I'll just give you some initials.
Bene.
And you tell me what they mean, okay? For
okay.
One. For one. Uno. CIA.
What is one?
CIA.
Oh, wait, what?
Uno is numero. CIA said the thing. You have to answer now, okay? Gigante, bobblehead, agio.
CIA.
Okay. CIA? What is Central Intelligence Agency?
Yes, okay.
One narolino, catch up quick, or Cathy, slow.
What is initially speaking for two?
A CNN.
What is,
Oh, bleach blonde, agio. Sean, chance to steal it.
What is Cable News Network?
That's right. There you go, Sean.
$2 for Sean. Go ahead, please.
Let's take initially speaking for three.
PETA.
PETA.
Catalina.
That's your good lawyer.
Catalina, chance to steal it.
Could you repeat the question?
No, that's broken the prime directive. No, PETA, that is People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. And incidentally,
bleeding hearts. So.
They love the idea of donkey basketball.
Sì, bene, bene, yeah. Grande protestino. Protestino.
Screw them, hippies.
Picketaggio.
Sean. Tie-dye.
Tie-dye, yeah, yeah. Under armo. No ladies shave all the legs, yeah. Sean, are you in control?
Well, let's go for a syndicated TV show ratings, for one.
All right, this is a tough category. I bet you didn't know the ratings for all the syndicated shows, and here you go. For one, this is the most popular syndicated show of them all, and it has a rating of 11.0.
What is Baywatch?
No.
No.
No, no, no.
Baywatch, grande bubalinas, bounceaggio bubalinas, bicho bubalinas, red bearing suit bubalinas, bubalina, bubalina, bubalina. Cathy, your chance to steal.
What is Married with Children?
Married with Children, no.
Oh.
Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel of Fortune, yeah. Vanna White.
What about Vanna, huh?
Oh, Pinko Ariola. Sean. Sean, you in control.
Let's go with syndicated TV show ratings for two.
This is the most popular daytime TV talk show with a rating of 7.1.
What is the Oprah Winfrey Show?
That's right.
$2 for Sean. Bene, bene, Sean. Select again.
And let's go for syndicated TV show ratings for three.
All right. This is the most popular entertainment/news prime access show. Boy, that's a mouthful. With a rating of 5.5.
Ooh.
What is Hard Copy?
No.
Copy.
No.
Copy. Your chance to steal it.
What is Good Day Show?
No.
No, it's Entertainment Tonight.
Entertainment Tonight. Hey, Mary Hart.
Mary Hart, how about those legs, huh?
Oh, longo, lego. Ooh, Bobolina. Sean. Sean, you in control.
Let's go for Celebrity Waits for One.
All right, this is the last category on the board now.
Casio.
And here's the first answer.
Smokemo.
I'll tell you the name of a celebrity, and you tell me how much he or she, the last reported weight was. Jay Leno.
What is 195?
Mmm. No. Katia, time to steal.
What is 240?
Wow.
Well, you got a bad TV.
Bobolini.
No, Jay Leno, 185.
185, oh, bigocino, gigante, yeah. Cino, di formate.
Oh, he's not. He.
Grande di formate.
He is not.
Sì, elephant mano.
He is not deformed.
Elefante, elefante mano.
He's not the elephant.
Elefante senor.
Have you ever seen?
Elefante, bag on the head.
Isn't senor Mexican, though?
Signore. Signore. Hey, Italia, io Mexicano. Mexicano, don't drink in water, waterino in a stool.
And if you think that Jay Leno looks like the Elephant Man, have you seen David Letterman?
Oh, David Letterman, sì. Grande deformate.
Fugly.
Deformate with con la tito, separagio, separagio, cleftagio. David Letterman. Hey, Sean, you in control.
Let's go for Celebrity Waits for Two.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, more gastrointestinal.
What is?
Give me a hint. It's under 1,000.
What is 240?
Oh, plus or con carne. Scott, you chance to steal.
Close.
What is 200?
She's on that same diet Rob's on.
Yeah.
225 for Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie, trimaggio alla buccia. Sono in controllo.
And let's close out the category.
All right, the last question on the board. Drew Carey.
True Care. What?
And listen, I'll tell you something. For those of you who are wondering just how fat I am these days, this is my current weight also.
Oh, Benny. Secret word game.
What is 210?
210, no. Oh, sorry.
Kathy Azio.
What is 240?
Thanks again.
No,
sorry, that would be 215.
215, bene, Danny, 215.
We have a big load just like Drew Carey.
Hey, so that's the end of the first round of Low Budget Jeopardy.
Yes, it is. And Cousin Luigi,
Solino.
As we go to... Did you just call me a bad name?
No, Luigi, speak to self. Asolino, Harissimo, Nipolino.
Do you have the scores we're going to break, Cousin?
Sì, Danny, sì, è Italy, tu. Sì, bene.
Sounds like Hispanic,
sì, bene, buenas noches. Hey, Sean, Sean has $9. Katari has $4.
All right, anything can happen. In final low-budget Jeopardy, where we physically force you both to bet it all.
Missionary!
No, she's a final low-budget Jeopardy.
Madre Capolino.
Here's your answer, Sean and Kathy. Oh, the category is Bill Clinton, the rock and roll president. And here's the answer.
On a
recent VH1 special, Bill Clinton said that this is his all-time favorite Beatles song. All right, Bill Clinton, Hornagio. Rock and roll president said that this is his favorite Beatles song. Guys, don't forget to answer in the form of a question. And... good luck.
Bene, Dani, pubblico servizio announcement.
It's a PSA, everybody.
After la sexuale intercorso.
Yes.
Smocaggio la sigaretta.
Right.
Corolino.
Yes.
Smucce. I love you. But after la sexuale intercorso, washo la parzo privatagio.
This is a public service announcement?
Washo la parzo privatagio. Grande, importante. Yeah. No washo la parzo is no guro. Accumulato muchismo acceso and bigo stincolino. Faccio good hygiene, io voglio la desizio sexuale e prevento accumulato acceso. Leavens in la bedrome is bado.
Did you say leavens?
Leavens in la bedrome is bado por la laundrilino. Now back to final low budget Jeopardy with Alex Trebek of Armino.
Hey, cousin!
Gonorrhea Ferrari.
An important PSA. Wash yourself.
Vaginati, una brava tiro. Shaptagio, scrubberino.
Wash your leavens.
Yeah, leavens in a sheetso.
Who do I want to talk to first here, cousin?
Kathy Bobolino, Bobolihedo.
Kathy?
The low woman at the totem pole.
From Athens, Georgia. Kathy?
Yes.
Kathy, it is Bill Clinton's all-time favorite Beatles song.
What is Let It Be?
Oh, Kathy, $0. $0 for a Kathy.
That was a good guess, okay. Kathy. Hey, Sean.
Yeah.
Sean, you can win if you have the right answer, my friend.
What is Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band?
Oh, no. Sean, no lira. $0 for Sean Haley.
Favorite Beatles song? Eleanor Rigby.
Oh, Eleanor Rigby. Ringolino Radicalino. Ringo.
You know what that means?
Yeah.
That means this is the type of game that only Ken Stevens can love, Cousin Luigi.
Oh, Ken Stevens, sì. Skin tag agio per la Ken Stivalino. Umane wormo.
Because you're giving away no money today on the show. Now, Kathy, you get to keep the money you've won in the past. And we have prizes for both of you, Sean and Kathy. Don't go away, Matt. Just go away. Now, here's... my cousin Luigi, with your gifts. Cousin?
Bene, Dani, a congratulatore per Katia Sean. Thank you. You have won a Gillette Sensore XL gift package. Only Sensore XL has a protectavino micro fins for extra comfort and self-adjustino blades for an incredible crossanino. Take the Sensor XL challenge. Ooh, scevo per la vaginale.
Maybe one of your girlfriends.
Ooh,
yeah.
Sì, Luigi, a grande por trimagio perfectamento. Gillette.
You like just a nice little landing strip now,
sì,
don't you?
Yes, un rectalone. Rectangle. But wait.
There's more.
You have one. An Aliso t-shirt. Oh, cheap agio.
Oh, Arliss, right.
And a hat in the celebrazione. Still on the air.
Yes, going into the second year, incredibly.
The return of Arliss. Arliso on HBO June 14th. Arliso, check it June 23rd or June 30th issue. Ave Sporti le strade o Swimsuit issue. Kathy Arlindo, grande, nipolina protrude. Details on how to win Arlis dream ticket. But wait.
There's more.
I try in best English.
Okay.
You have won a ghost in the darkness. Prize pack. Oh, assaggio, bretaggio. Death bretaggio. Jimmy the intern. Jimmy the intern, death bretaggio.
Who has worse breath, you or Jimmy the intern?
Oh, I did bretaggio from Jimmy the intern. Luigi close second. Garlico. Garlico, grande. With just a hint of a punetaggio. And make sure you order Ghost in the Darkness on pay-per-view today. Call your local Kevalani, Aparitani for detail. Bene, bene.
That's it.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, Sean. Thanks for playing the game, Agio.
Thank you. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Kathy. Have a great weekend, kids. Well, cousin, sadly, we've got to leave. I know that you're...
Muy manja time, time. Dennis Murphy, Parmesan.
You're on the next boat back to Italy.
Ah, sì. Asso pimpale, dimple cottage cheese. Sì, Dani, vieni. Italia, call my name, Luigi. Say, I got to go, Dani.
Well, don't forget that Low Budget Jeopardy is a production of...
Testacana Ravioli, Coran Incorporated. It is distributed by King World.
Well, cousin Luigi, I say it to you. Benny, manja.
Manja, fungi contro jam.
And I will see you the next time.
Oh, yeah. Calamari, nice obuscio. I say, arrivederci, Dani. Ah, so grande.
Ah. Oh, I think he had something else he wanted to say. Hold on.
Dani, for open the porto. Okay. Open the porto. Hey, Johnny.
Was I fast with the sound effect, or did you linger?
I linger, you know. Okay. Linger, you know. That's a brave guy.
Now, what would you like to say? Well, Final Lobage Jeopardy is a production of...
Coran Incorporatino, e check out Anidoro, my wish ass done.
Ah. His English is so much better.
Yeah.
Better every
very,
time.
Very outspoken.
Yes, he is.
Very outspoken. And his breath today, as you heard, rancid.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Did you really mean what you said up there?
Uh huh. I just want you to be happy, Mary.
But I'd be happiest with you.
What about Brett Favre?
What'd I tell you the first time we met? I'm a Niners fan.
The Don and Mike Show. Vintage goodness. It's the best of Don and Mike.
New sponsor that we want to make sure we highlight right here at the beginning part of the show. This portion of the Don and Mike Show is brought to you by the Ken Stevens Management Tapes.
The Ken Stevens Management Seminar is now available through audio tape.
No, I don't know what to say.
Successful radio management doesn't happen by accident. It happens with solid training.
I mean, I forgot to tell you that I was taking you up on what I thought was the agreement. No.
With Ken's tapes, you'll develop skills in crisis management.
Because that's why I asked you in the first place.
Enhanced memory skills.
I don't remember, but that's certainly possible.
And the all-important art of decision-making.
Can I think about it?
The Ken Stevens Management Seminar. Get yours today.
Is it Monday?
And start managing.
This portion of the show brought to you by the Ken Stevens Management Tapes.
Yeah, if you want to go into management, you'll need these tapes.
And I think you'll find that they're sponsoring a large portion of the show today.
Great.
And we will at some point check in with the namesake of that fine product during today's show and find out what he's got to say for himself. Buzz, your doctor is online. Dr. Fran.
Dr. Fran. Good.
Did I tell you or what?
You told me, Dr. Fran.
Dr. Me.
Dr. Fran,
doubted
no.
Me.
Buzz doubted, not me and Mike. We knew you had the right stuff.
You think I didn't hear that Dr. C stuff.
I'll tell you right now, Dr. Fran, we believe in you.
There you go.
I can see.
Another successful, happy patient.
Doctor, did you get my message? I tried to phone in a thank you message to your office this morning.
No, thank you. No, I didn't get it. Thank you.
Well, I phoned it into your receptionist. I tried to call the fake number you scribbled on your card for your car phone, and I couldn't get through, so I called your office
instead. Thank you. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Francie.
Rotter.
She's wonderful.
Oh, okay. Yes, Dr. Rotter.
Fran C. Rotter. She is marvelous. Thank you. Thank you, Doc.
Bye, Doc.
Thank you.
Okay.
You see, the show actually did something good yesterday. We had a member of the team who was ill, and the doctor, she cured him.
She is wonderful.
Team doctor.
She's Dr. very fancy.
Aggressive doctor. She aggressively treated your eye.
She did.
She sure did. And look at that. You can see that yesterday. You should have seen the pathetic sight as we were walking out of the building yesterday when Buzz's wife came over to get him. And
she grabbed him by the elbow to lead him into the car.
Buzz pulled his arm away, and he says, "Woman, I can get in the car myself."
Dag nabbit.
You didn't want to be amazing. Emaciated in front of your friends.
Emasculated, but that too.
But you knew what I meant.
Right.
I'll tell you right now, it was a pathetic sight to see as you were leaving with your little round Christmas story glasses, you know, like the ones. The
Ralphie. Kid,
Ralphie's glasses.
Ralphie.
Pathetic, but touching, I thought.
Of course.
Well, so glad that you're okay, Buzz.
Yeah.
The charade is over. Buzz can see. On with the show. Well, I know you're wondering why I have that special glow today.
Why do you have that special glow today?
Well, because I was privileged today, before the show, to spend 6 hours in an automobile with Charles Broyhill, our producer.
Oh, that's right. You boys went up to the Redskins training camp for the big pregame show.
Yeah, I didn't know that it was going to work out that way.
Right.
That I was going to actually drive with Charlie all the way to Redskins training camp.
You drive in Charlie's vehicle or your vehicle?
My vehicle.
Your vehicle.
Charlie said to me, it's about 2.5 hours up the Redskins training camp. Redskins season starts Friday.
Right.
I'm so jacked to be back as the host of the Redskins pregame show on the Redskins radio network, so we had to go up there and do all the interviews today. So Broyhill says we should probably leave about 7:30.
Right.
I thought, fine, I'll wait for the directions. And then he called me last night. He said, you know what? I'll just be at your house. I'll see you at 7:30.
Okay.
And I said, great. I figured I would just follow the guy up, you know.
Right. Go in tandem.
He knows I'm not the best at directions. If he wants to lead me up there, that's fine. I can just, you know, put it on cruise control and just not worry about it. Well, imagine my surprise when I see him walking up the driveway with his big satchel full of radio stuff and his big bottles of water.
Getting ready to hop in your car.
He says, let's go. So at that point, you know, I can't say, hey, I thought we were taking two cars.
No, you're ready. And, you know, he has that way about him where you don't want to say, you know, get back in your own car.
No, and listen, it's a tough time anyway communicating with Charles Broyhill.
Was there a lengthy conversation on the way up to Frostburg?
Well, you know, the early morning drive up is where the conversation was really the worst. That's where it was pain conversation. He didn't like my choice in radio stations. I flip around a lot. I listen to everything in the radio. A
series of clicks and grunts, you know, showing his dismay.
And he's got this thing with his telephone.
Mm-hmm.
He carries his cell phone all the time, as many young urban professionals do.
Right.
But he's got this gizmo where he puts an earpiece in one of his ears, and he has a very tiny microphone that he clips to his shirt.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we would be driving along many times, great period, 20, 30 miles silence.
Sure.
Just driving along in silence, and all of a sudden I'd hear him go, well, I don't know what I'm going to do about that. Well, I have to call you. And I'd look at him and say, Are you talking to me? He just puts a hand up.
Like, yeah, yo, he loves doing that. Or the finger, you know. Wait a minute.
And I said, what? Are you talking to me? Again, it's talk to the hand, and then I realized the guy's having his phone conversation.
And he is such a, you know, he lives in a world of secrecy, and he's so secretive that he actually has that little phone that rings without anybody knowing.
Right.
So he'll all of a sudden,
because it just rings in his earpiece that he wears.
And he loves the fact that nobody knows that he's talking on the phone. And then, you know, then when you speak to him, what's going on?
No.
Can't talk to you now.
Not for your secret conversation.
Can't speak to you. So we made it up there. He chastised me a little bit because we didn't make it up there as fast as he had made it the previous weekend.
Huh.
But he did point out all of the scenic sights to see on the way up, like a
beautiful Frostburg, Maryland.
One spot where apparently there's a big man-made crack in the middle of one of these mountains up there.
Wonderful.
And they've actually made some kind of a tourist stop out of it. So he, you know,
man-made crack.
Pointed it out to me as we were driving by. And
That's the famous Western Maryland man-made crack.
Yeah, the drive was pretty tedious getting up there.
Sure.
And I realized about 2 hours into the drive up there that I was doing to him what my kid does to me all the time. But I would say to him, really, Charlie, how much longer until we get there?
Right.
I thought you said it was 2 hours. How much longer until we get there?
Ooh, that's tough. And I know when you're in that mode, that's not a good mode to be in.
And he, of course, is uncommunicative.
Right.
I mean, doesn't want to tell me that it's 30 minutes away or 20 minutes away. He just looks at me and goes, well, you're driving. Yeah, okay.
We'll be there.
That's fine. We'll get there. But we got up there.
Right.
Nothing cooler than being around a pro football team.
Right.
When they're practicing.
And because we're doing the pregame show, we got to walk right out on the field and see the big sweaty football players and hear them dropping the F-bomb S-bomb.
That they were sweaty today, hot up there.
It was surprisingly cool up there.
Oh, was it really?
It was nice, about 75 today. And I got to give a shout-out to the Redskins' new management team up there.
Yes.
Oh, they treated us great. It was so fantastic for a change. Radio got precedence over television.
Right? There you go.
I was waiting to do some interviews, and I saw a bunch of guys that we know, like Wally Bruckner from Channel 4.
Right, weekend sports guy.
Chick Hernandez from Channel 5.
Chick's a good guy.
And they were all talking to me. We were just making small talk, and all of a sudden, the people from Redskins say, excuse me, Mr. Geronimo, which is what they kept calling me.
Wow.
Mr. Geronimo, this way, please. And they led me out onto the practice field where the guys were still practicing, and then they put up like a little barricade, and they kept all the TV guys behind this barricade.
There you go.
So as the players came off the field,
right,
I got first dibs on the guys that I wanted to interview.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so it worked out good. We talked to a bunch of them, including the very quiet Michael Westbrook.
How did you find Mr. Westbrook to be this season?
I brought him out of a shell.
Ah, very good.
I brought him out of a shell after I thought he was going to beat my ass. The interview started a little shaky.
Right.
But then I think it came around okay.
Very good.
He did very, very well. So we had a great time, and thanks to the Redskins for the fabulous access. On the way back, it's been at this point that it's hitting me that I'm actually not going to be able to go back home before I come to work. I'm noodling this through as I'm pulling out of Redskins training camp. I'm thinking, uh-oh.
Right.
It's now almost noon. Mm-hmm. Must be at work by 2:15.
Right.
Broyhill's car is at my house.
Means even more time with him.
What that means is not only did we drive back to work today together.
Right.
When the show is over tonight, I get the pleasure of having him in my car for the entire commute back home.
I am sure that you will say, what a day at the end of this day.
We also had one very gay moment that I have to tell you about. We stopped to get food at Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah.
Went to get some chicken strips. So he was, of course, in the passenger seat. We went to the drive-thru window. I'm driving. We got going, and he did the mommy thing where he opened up the bag, and he prepared the food. Then what he would do was he opened up each individual little packet like a barbecue sauce. He would open it up, and he would actually place it on my knee. And then what he did, then he would take a napkin,
yep,
and he spread out the napkin, and he would gingerly put that in my lap.
Very thoughtful boy.
Very gay.
Here he comes. That got him in here.
Yeah, come on.
I know, that's very true, but you've driven with him enough to know.
Yes.
No distractions.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I had to open that for him.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. If you don't do that, you might end
up
like...
here.
You might drive right into the crack.
Oh, come on.
Right.
You might drive into the man-made crack.
Right. It's a big crack.
But it was a very gay moment, and he insisted on pointing out the crack on the way back, too.
But why did you make us sing?
Get out of here.
There he goes.
Get out of here, Charlie. You'll be driving home with him tonight. Why don't you let him sleep over tonight?
You know what? And we almost had some fun, because when you get to a certain point, we almost had some radio fun.
Mm-hmm.
You get to a certain point when you pass all real radio stations,
right,
and you get out in the boondocks.
Get way out into the mountains.
We heard The Trading Post, which was one of those damn tradio shows where, like, old people call in and they go,
The Trading Post.
I have a... One guy called and he says, I have a big metal door. It's 38 by 42. I'd like to sell it for $10. And then they go, well, what's your phone number? My phone number is 1-800-ASK-FOR-ASS if anybody wants the number. And I'm dying. We listened to the station for about 15 minutes.
Was this after the chicken strips with the sauce?
No, this was on the way up.
Okay, very good.
This was on the way up. And I'm dying to call the station, but
right,
the disc jockey is never giving out the number to call. It was a station station in West Virginia. Because I said to Broyhill, do you think they have a delay? He said, no, probably not. It's a small station.
That's right.
Then you are in for a treat.
The Trading Post.
Because I am going to call the Trading Post and wait till you hear the fun I have with these people. So the whole way up there, after a half hour, finally the guy gives the phone number.
Right.
But it was right as we were pulling in to Frostburg.
So you couldn't sit and wait to make the call to the Trading Post.
And then by the time we got out of the training camp, they're playing the stupid Rush Limbaugh show on that station. So we didn't even have our great fun.
So you do think that how's the team look this year?
Hey, better.
Better?
And I'm not saying that. I would tell you the truth if I thought they sucked.
Right, right.
Better. I'm telling you, I've been to lots of Redskins practices and training camps.
Mm-hmm.
I heard more guys dropping the F-bomb today and dropping the S-bomb today.
Pretty intense
out there.
Up there. Pretty tough.
Very intense. Very scary. Lots of very mean, scary men playing for the Redskins
you
this year.
You said Norv seemed very intense, too?
Norv is pissed. You asked me if I went up and said hello to Norv, and I didn't.
No.
Because Norv was pissed.
Right.
Right in practice. And at one point, they got like a big... You know that whistle that used to blow on the Flintstones, let everybody in the slate place know it's time to go to lunch?
Right.
They got a whistle like that that goes... at 11 o'clock, and the players start running off the field. And all of a sudden, you hear from the corner... It was Norm yelling that he wasn't quite done yet,
right.
So everybody had to put their football stuff back on and come out and do whatever drill he wanted to do.
I wonder if it was like the siren that Wendell gave the G-Man. There was G. Gordon Liddy got a siren. Have you heard about that, the siren from Wendell? You know,
great.
This is something, hey, Robbie,
it was like a European siren?
If you can find this is worth stealing, I hope, if Mr. Liddy won't mind. Yeah. I will tell you right now, this thing, I don't know where Wendell got this, but this is like World War I issue, and we were doing we were doing some production before the show. There it is.
Oh, my God. It's not a sound effect.
I want to show you how this thing
it's
really cranking.
Look at this. It's not a sound effect. It's an actual General Electric Company Chicago issue real old-time siren.
And if you really crank it, you know,
like a hand crank civil defense siren.
How many people do you think are driving in their cars right now and they're looking in the rearview mirror?
Wow.
Wondering if the man's pulling them over. Wacky.
Thank you.
Wacky.
Nice little toy. Yes, sir.
Oh, that is fantastic.
That is really terrific. You know, that would be something. You know, you're just heading down the road, lean out the window. Whoa.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great to carry in your car? Oh, my God. Some guy's in a left-hand lane doing 50, and you roll down your window and you lay that baby on him.
That's like the Edward R. Murrow version.
Right.
This is London.
Fantastic.
That is great.
Well, you should ask Mr. Liddy if we could borrow that sometime.
We'd love to.
I bet we get a lot more use out of it than he will.
Of course, absolutely.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello. A couple of calls, and then on with the show. Hello.
Hello, Don.
Yes, and Mike. Hello.
Hey, I can make that same sound without the siren.
Could you pick up, please?
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
You ready?
Yeah. Not as good as the real thing. I've got to be honest. Not as good as the real thing.
Very clever boys.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello there.
Oh, all right. Hold on a second. Somebody wanted to do the same thing.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
It's my man. Now, that guy's a musical genius.
Certainly.
I mean it.
Wow.
That guy's good.
Man.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, this is Sam.
They're all coming out of the woodwork now.
It's regular Wednesday, everyone.
Hello, Sam.
Hey, how's everybody doing today?
How are you doing, Sam?
Oh, I tell you what, Sam Huff is having a great day because he's the greatest linebacker in the NFL.
Greatest linebacker in the history of the NFL.
That's right. There ain't nobody better than the great Sam Huff.
Oh, you're absolutely right about that. And, you know, all the other linebackers, what's the deal with them, Sam?
They came up in the short end of the stick.
I guess so.
That's right.
Okay, thank you, Sam.
Okay, bye.
Bye, Sam.
You know, sometimes he has more.
Yes, yeah, sometimes.
Like the family reunions.
Absolutely. Right.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Yeah, hello
Yo,
there.
Yo, I'm Medaik with the Ditto.
Are you speaking some sort of foreign language?
I don't know. Hang up on him. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Is that the Charlie Brown teacher?
No, I think he's trying to do a siren.
Mm-hmm. Sounds a little like...
Rude. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi there.
Question about your trip to Western Maryland.
Yes.
Did you, just before you got to Frostburg, did you see the little town that has all the church steeple? Nothing but church steeple.
Oh, there is a town that you go through. The speed limit incidentally goes from 65 to 40, so watch it.
Mm-hmm. Sounds beautiful.
Oh, it sucks, man.
Why does it suck?
It sucks because it's...
Well, I'm just picturing like a town with church steeples. That strikes me as something that would be very easy on the eye, very nice to look at.
It is an industrial town.
They're all covered with coal dust.
It is an industrial town where you see nothing but a landscape of like the big funnels with smoke pouring out of them from the factories. Mm-hmm. And then off to the right, you see like five church steeples in a row. Mm-hmm.
About 5 years ago, some local yokel there put up money to have each church steeple have a big spotlight on it at night.
That was actually pointed out to me by noted Jesus person, Charles Broyhill. Charles Loring Broyhill.
Were you anywhere near Burkittsville, Maryland?
Oh, nowhere near. We're going the opposite way as the Blair Witch Project.
Okay, very just curious about that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike. Hey, hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, be cool, guys. Hey, listen, guys, I need to get that Ken Stevens management system. I got a lot of sons, and I need to know how to keep these guys
Donnie
going.
From college.
This guy's trying to do a bit to pretend to be our agent.
Right.
Absolutely.
I got you.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, we'll get that right to you, Don.
A valiant try. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Be cool, guys.
Stay cool.
Oh, stay cool. That's
stay cool.
Right, guys. I'm
stay
on vacation,
cool.
Guys. And I'll be back in the office next week.
All right, stay cool. Thank you, Don.
All right. I just like the effort.
Goodbye. No, it was a valiant effort.
It was a true valiant effort.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, I have a microphone, and you don't.
So you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
The Don and Mike Show. Expertly aged, like a fine cheddar. The best of Don and Mike.
Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, what's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Mike, I was wondering, is any of your back hair grow back in from your wax job?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, grew back weeks ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, it grew back very, very quickly.
That could be another good future bet.
Yeah?
Something?
What?
Does it grow back even thicker?
No, it doesn't. It actually grows back, I would say, probably a little lighter than before.
You know, that's a fallacy, I believe, that was started. I think the first time I ever heard that was on Leave It to Beaver,
mm-hmm.
where Wally told Beaver that if you shave, the more you shave, the faster your beard will grow.
That's true.
Well, I've been doing that all my life, and that's not true.
Well, it's not automatic. It all has to do with your coloring and the type of hair that you have. But by and large, the more you shave, the coarser, thicker, and heavier your beard gets, and it grows back.
How do you explain this, then? How do you explain the fact that for years and years and years, and you know this, I have tried...
You're like my father. My father didn't have a lot of facial hair.
I've tried to grow a beard, I swear to God... Since I was in junior high school trying to grow a beard, never been able to. I finally gave up on it.
Right.
And now 2 weeks later, look at this. I got a nice beard coming in.
It what it is that it's just the type of, you know, hair that you have. Certain people just have a certain amount of hair.
But how could this be that this hair has always been there for 40 years, and now just in the last 2 weeks, all of a sudden it's like, hey... I can grow a beard.
Well, probably because you were shaving it, you know, by all the times you were shaving it, it's coming in
so
a little thicker.
That's the 40, so you got to shave yourself every day for 30 to 40 years.
Mm-hmm. The more you shave, the thicker your beard gets, the more you stimulate the hair follicles,
really?
The more you're going to get to,
really?
But there are limitations. You're still not, you know, you and I are not going to have a beard like Alan Leinwand because that's just the way he's a hairy guy.
Damn, he's a chia pet, man.
He's a very hairy guy.
He probably has to shave 3 times a day, and I'm not exaggerating. This guy, the sales guy here, always got a heavy beard.
If we're going to do something, but I'll tell you this, if we're going to do something in the evening, if we're going out somewhere, I actually have to take a razor with me now because I have to shave twice a day or I'm going to have the, not a 5 o'clock shadow, but I will have stubble, which is kind of like with the gray hairs that I have in there now, it has that old man park bench kind of stubble, and that's because of, you know, years and years and years. But
I would kill.
Has to shave 3 times a day.
I was going
to
say, I would kill for that. I would kill for that. This is the closest I've ever come to a beard. And you see, this is not actually like what it is like underarm hair that I have going from my chin.
It looks like chest hair.
Up to my ear.
It looks like downy chest hair.
Well, I've got to give it some more time to fill in.
Well, I like the Van Dyke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I like being different because everybody on the show has a Van Dyke.
Why does everyone have a... Why did you grow your Van Dyke now when we're going out in Sacramento for the first time?
I think I look stupid in photographs without facial hair. I discovered the other day I look like, I don't know, Mr. Potato Head or something. There's no apparent neck when I'm photographed without facial hair.
Really?
And I think shaving's a pain, especially around the lips and chin, so it was just easier.
You've grown a Van Dyke, which in effect is even more detailed shaving that you have to do.
That's right.
Yeah, but I don't have to see it. I used to cut my nose trying to shave because I wasn't used to shaving. I went like 20, 30 years without shaving.
Did you use a mirror?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. I just close his eyes, shave.
The reflection in a pond.
Excuse me.
Ow.
You know, I used to cut myself all the time when I would shave in the shower because I love that. I love the thought that, again, I'm like Buzz, even though it takes 5 seconds, I hate to shave. Right. I hate to take the time it takes to shave. So I thought, if I do it in the shower.
Right.
Fantastic, be able to do everything at once, except you did it without a mirror.
And you don't feel the cuts when you're when you're shaving with all that water on
you. Not until you look down at your feet and you see the blood down there.
You're always a bad psycho shower scene.
Always a bad sign. You're in the shower, you look down, you see blood. It's even a worse sign if you're not shaving, you look down and see blood in the shower.
I can't remember the last time I used a real razor. I use all electric now. Every time I shave, every day now, I shave with an electric razor.
Oh, I can't stand it.
The Norelco. Remember that expensive one that I bought? That ridiculously overpriced one? I don't use that anymore. I use the Norelco, and it's great.
But that's why you have to shave twice a day sometimes, because it doesn't cut as close.
No, it's as close as a blade at your money back.
I use the big disposable. Oh, for sensitive skin.
That's why you cut yourself.
No, I don't. I cut myself because I'm uncoordinated.
No, if you use those razors are... If you took a magnifying glass...
Oh, please. Wait, what are you going to do like the commercial on TV where they go...
I swear to God.
This blade pulls the hair out while this blade cuts it.
I'm just going to show you the regular razor and the Bic, okay?
Okay. Show me the difference.
All right, this is regular.
Okay.
And this is the Bic. The Bic is on the left.
Okay.
That is the difference in the blade right there.
Okay, I don't care.
They
mock the Bic razor. They make a great pen. They make one hell of a razor.
I haven't seen you bleeding lately, but then again, you've got a beard now, so you're not shaving.
You know, I haven't been bleeding. Why? You haven't seen me bleed for a long time because I still shave like down here on my neck.
See, I was going to ask you
and
that.
And on my cheeks.
And it looks like you go down. You're going down here and shaving on your cheeks.
Yes, I am. You know why I'm shaving on my cheeks? Not on those cheeks.
Those cheeks. Shave those cheeks.
You know why? You know why I don't bleed? Because I got a Stipic pencil. Those things kick ass.
Yeah.
And they're very hard to find now.
Right.
I got to go to 4 or 5 different drugstores to find a Stipic pencil.
Mm-hmm.
It's like magic, man. You cut a big gouge out of your face.
So but have you been cutting yourself at all on the top when you're shaving cover over the mirror?
No, I haven't. Because the Bic is wonderful.
Yeah, right.
Because the Bic razors kick ass, man.
I used one of those Bic disposables one time and wasn't paying attention, and I shaved against the grain on my neck. And it looked like...
Well, whose fault is that?
It looked like I'd taken a garden weasel to my neck.
Examine that statement. You were not paying attention,
shaving
against the grain.
That's right.
Whose fault is that?
I was not paying attention when I walked into the drugstore and bought the big disposable razors.
That's blasphemy, man. I won't hear that. I will not hear that.
But now it's a moot point because I use the electric and...
Electric razors suck. I never liked electric razors.
It gives me a warning and said I think I have to like replace the blades or something.
I hate electric razors. Really do.
It's the first one I ever really enjoyed.
Never liked them. Mm. What about you, Buzz? What do you use?
They're a pain to clean. I don't like electric razors.
But what's your brand of razor?
I used to use Gillette, but I stopped using them because of the animal testing and went to the competition Schick. I use Schick now.
The animal testing?
That's right, yeah.
Who cares?
Well, I do. I don't want them beating up little animals, testing razors and makeup and stuff.
Squirrels?
That's what I heard. No, I don't know. I just, they're on the list of people who wrongly test their products on animals.
You're so righteous. You're so damn righteous.
So I left Gillette and went to Schick.
So righteous, yet he's an atheist. Go figure.
Not an atheist.
The man doesn't believe in God, yet he cares about little animals being tested.
Methodist.
Right. Well, Methodist, atheist. That's very close.
Hell of a test. That'd be a tough job to test it.
Yep, this one works. Hello, Don Mike Show. Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Turn your radio down, please.
Okay, hold on.
Thank you. It must be a long walk to the radio.
That's right. Well, it's either a long walk or a slow walker.
Hello.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say Mach 3 kicks ass.
Mach 3 razor?
Mach 3 is the Gillette Mach 3, which is three blades, you know.
It's
eventually they're going to have like eight blades.
I've used it before.
I didn't dig it that
you
much.
You know what I hate? I hate Edge. If we could get on the topic of shaving cream for a second.
You don't like Edge gel?
No, I don't like the...
That's all I use is the gel.
I don't like gel. Not
when
that.
when I'm using a regular razor.
No, the gel is the best.
No. Yeah.
Because it really requires you working it into your face.
Right. No,
tuna fish, Mike.
Tuna, what are you talking about?
Well, Mike was about to ask me what I'm having for lunch today.
Oh, tuna fish. Okay, all right. I almost thought for a second that you sometimes shave with tuna fish.
No, never. Oh! I've never shaved with a fish. But you've got to go with the gel. And also, a shout out to the Gillette Atra product. Atra. Always Atra.
You know, when it comes to shaving, men really are.
I like foam, man.
And women are really, really committed to their products.
There's a lot of women around here that aren't committed to shaving.
Oh,
actually,
okay.
I will tell you that.
Oh, no.
I know that.
Here we go.
Ugly.
Take a look under some of those nylons at the station, man. There's some real Glenda Manleys around here. You know what I mean? Remember Dexter's wife? She had the hairiest legs of any woman I've ever seen, and she would not cut them.
No need. No need. Put the nylons on right over the hairy leg.
I like a nice big foam. As a matter of fact, I used to have one of those droppers that would heat up the foam.
Oh, really?
So, like, in the morning, you go, you get that hot foam, put that on your face.
Well, you know, a listener called me one time when I was having a problem with facial irritation and said the best thing to do is to shave with ice-cold water. That's the best way to shave, ice-cold water to keep your face firm.
You know, I read somewhere, maybe I read it last weekend, somewhere, maybe in that stupid... what's that thing you get in the newspaper? Oh, Parade?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know that useless? They call it a magazine. It's totally useless.
It really is useless.
I think in the back where they had, like, household hints, somebody wrote in there, if you don't have any shaving cream, use peanut butter.
Really?
Yeah, and that guys in the Army and stuff.
Use peanut butter to shave?
Use peanut butter. They put peanut butter on their faces, they shave with peanut butter.
Sounds like it could be an experiment.
Any lubricant would probably work.
Well, you'd know about that, Buzz.
Yes, I would.
Mr. Lube, that's what we call him.
Marsha, we have some peanut butter. That would work.
Mr. Lube, the swinging atheist. Cares about animals.
Johnny Lube, yes.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don.
Hello, sir.
It's just a matter of fact, it's just of getting older. I'm about as old as you, and then just as you get older, you get thicker, longer, whatever hair.
Well, I'm not complaining. I love the fact that I'm finally able to grow a beard.
But it's not that you have to, that you've been shaving for 20 years or whatever, you know.
Well, that's what Mr. Electric Razor said.
Well, just watch out. You know, pretty soon it'll be coming out your nose. You'll have eyebrow hair.
Listen, I've already got Andy Rooney eyebrows. I have to
crimp
my eyebrows.
But it's not a myth that when you shave, that's the worst way to get rid of hair, because if you shave, it's going to come back. That's why the more you shave, the thicker and coarser your beard gets.
Well, forget shaving. Go tweeze.
Tweeze?
Oh, God.
Who has the time?
And I do have tons of ear hair. I have tons of nose hair. And my eyebrows, I do have to trim my eyebrows, because I swear to God, I got the Andy Rooney-est eyebrows.
There are certain kinds of hairs that start coming out of your eyebrows that are just mysterious. And then I got one right here. Do you see this one right here?
That's a long one, man. That's a long, girlish hair coming out of your eyebrow.
It's nasty.
Antenna. And sometimes Frida will piss me off. I'm laying in bed. She'll come over, and I think she's going to, like, give me a love or something. And she just leans over, and she goes, boink! Bing!
Oh,
pulls that baby. I see. Honey, do I do that to you?
Makes that sound.
Wouldn't she hate it if I did that to her if she's wearing a bathing suit?
I just saw that, honey. I just wanted to make you feel better.
Have you ever gotten a hair in the middle of your forehead?
No.
Really?
I, like, woke up and, like, an inch away from my hairline, there's a hair. So I guess I'm an alien?
That's weird.
Yeah, okay.
That's weird.
Right, you're an alien, Rob.
Right out of the forehead?
Like about an inch down, yeah.
Oh, no, that's you, Rob. I believe that's unique to you.
And it was glowing.
All right, let's get out of this. Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, buddy.
Bobby.
Okay, buddy. Listen, you're overspending, okay, on this Edge deal. All this stuff, get you some cheap Barbasol, shake it up, boom, you're good.
No, I want to tell you something. Barbasol is the equivalent of Tussie perfume, okay? Listen, I'm a big believer in name brand. You get what you pay for, man.
That's not Tussie.
No.
I don't mind the little Barbasols that you put in your travel bag, you know, the tiny little ones for traveling with the big mouth. That's,
you probably steal soap at the hotel, too.
Gotta be the name brand, and I do steal soap out of the hotel. They got good soap at hotels.
Anytime you say Tussie, I just think of that. stuff the two fingers in the tussie.
My mom used to use tussie, and she's so cheap,
right.
She wouldn't buy the roll-on ball
right.
or the spray. Mm-hmm. My mom would buy it. It would come like in an eczema jar.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk in the bathroom. I see my mom sticking two fingers in there, getting a big glob of this, and just plopping it under her old lady armpit. Oh, it's hideous. It scarred me. I swear to God it did.
Tussie,
ask for it by name. Okay. All right. Let's do a break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, this is Homer Simpson saying howdy to all the girls out there in Radio Land.
The Don and Mike Show. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Segment when Buzz was talking about Bob Hope,
yes,
donating his jokes
right
to where is someone downtown,
the Library of Congress,
right. We forgot it was a great opportunity to play one of our favorite Bob Hope is Feeble tapes.
Mm-hmm.
This is back when they were still propping him up and right. having him bring out the football players.
Yes. Yeah, the AP All American football team.
What is this from, Rob?
Like 5 years.
5, maybe 6 years ago. This is not a joke tape.
The music tells you we've come to one of the perennial highlights of our Christmas show, the introduction of the Associated Press All-American Football Team, the cream of the NCAA.
I'm worried about, aren't the jokes on this awful?
They're
the
terrible.
Joke, he tells a joke before every football player comes out.
But I'll tell you, the jokes, it's not the jokes as much as the delivery on this particular
show. The National Collegiate Athletic Association. Here they come, one by one, ton by ton, the best of the 1991 season. Let's start with the All-American defense.
Team, right there. Right there.
Right there, yeah. Steve Edmonds, junior, defensive tackle, University of Washington.
Steve's certainly bigger than the other opposing linemen. In fact, he's generally bigger than the other school team's bus.
Wasn't that bad laugh track that they throw in?
Yeah. This is the last one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
This is the last special.
Yeah, I think so. Santana Dawson, defensive lineman, senior, Baylor University.
Opposing players say that being blocked by this guy is an experience. You get to see what grass looks like from underneath.
That phony-ass laugh.
Right there. There he goes.
There are a couple where he really slurs.
Senior defensive tackle from Sunny University of Florida.
When Brad was only 2 years old, he had his picture taken on a bearskin rug. Actually, it wasn't a rug exactly. It was a real bear that Brad had in a hammerlock.
You know, listen, that's the same generic laugh that we have.
That's
listen.
Right?
Right? Yeah. Listen to the laugh the next time he reads a joke. Here we go.
Deaver Smith, defensive end, University of Iowa, senior.
Yes, sir. Opposing players say that after this guy tackled you, you hear bells, which is a good sign. It means you probably still have ears.
See, it's the exact same one.
There it is. He likes that laugh.
All right, let's hear one more tape of Bob Hope. I hope we donated these jokes.
Oh, these are great jokes.
He's an inside linebacker. East Carolina University senior.
Yes, sir. Opposing players tell me that you get up after this guy tackles you, but some assembly may be required.
Wow. You know, they don't even mix up the different laugh tracks.
No. That is big.
Old laughs for old jokes.
Matt Elliott, he plays center, but he loves the tight end. Oh, I tell you. He's wild. Old Gerb. He peed in his pants in Michigan. Wild.
This guy told Buzz Burbank he was going to toss his salad. Yeah.
Hey, wild.
Yeah, wild, baby.
Matt Elliott, they call him Gerb.
He likes to be dressed like a little baby. That's why he joined the Diaper Pail Friends Club.
Wild, Matt Elliott. Wild.
Fantastic.
Wild.
Reggie White gave a speech before the entire assembly in Wisconsin. I'll tell you, he really put his foot in it that time.
Wild. There's a whole listing of Bob's lame jokes in the Washington Post this morning, and they're all going to the Library of Congress.
Wow, that is big. It's me. It's old Jack Frost.
Wild. Wild, baby.
Shares.
Hey, I beat out Sinatra. I made it, baby.
Hey, I'm alive, baby.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
Cher's thinking about death these days, too. You know, you were talking recently about the upcoming Cher Remember Sunny special on CBS and how she's maybe using that to exploit
further her career.
To relaunch her career. She's surprisingly candid in next week's People magazine. She tells that magazine that she sabotaged her own career by doing infomercials and catalogs and by turning down choice movie roles. Quoting Cher, "I couldn't have been dumber. My career went right into the toilet. It was just a huge, devastating misjudgment of what people would accept from me." And on the subject of death, Cher says she doesn't like turning 50. She hates being in her 50s. She hates getting older, but she says she's not afraid of death or dying. Quoting her, "If Sonny can do it, how hard can it be?"
Look at that tattoo on Cher's ass. Hey, look at that thing. That is big.
You're wild, man.
Yeah.
I want to tell you something.
Her career is as dead as Frank Sinatra. Wild. I tell you right now, she likes Sonny's jock cheese.
That is big.
She didn't like the taste, though.
Wow.
She ate it, though.
Wow.
As you see, it's good salty pickle.
Why that Seinfeld song?
That's up next. NBC says 76 million people watched last night.
Yeah, what a pompous ass he is. Oh. He is big.
Yeah. Sorry. I was late with your laugh track. I was...
Sorry, Bob.
That's all right, Bob.
Remember we used to do Elvis to Elvis?
Bob to Bob.
Wild.
I just want to say, I feel it's wild to be one of Jerry's kids, yeah.
million people watched the last Seinfeld compared to 80 million who watched the last episode of Cheers and 105 million people who watched the last episode of Mad.
God, I can't wait till Bob Hope dies. That's going to be a great show.
75.
It is. I love goofing on Bob Hope.
That is big. I hope he lives forever, baby. Come on, Bob, stay with us. 80 million, man. I wish that was my sperm count.
Wild. Roosevelt said to me. You're wild. That's what Abe Lincoln said to me. You're wild, Bob.
75 Puerto Ricans demonstrated outside the NBC studios last night. They want the previous week's episode about the accidental burning of the Puerto Rican flag to never be aired anywhere again. It's not a bad idea. It wasn't a good episode. They also want an apology from NBC. I'm giving you some of the dark sides of last night's Seinfeld sign-off. And on Leno last night, Jerry said that even he had gotten sick of himself. Viewers in Middletown...
I want to tell you, those Puerto Ricans are wild.
Wild.
That's crazy stuffy.
Yeah, they take 30 people and move into a house. Yeah.
That's wild, man.
That's what Reggie White said, ladies and gentlemen. Right there. There he is.
Seinfeld watchers in Middletown, New York missed the last 10 minutes of last night's episode, including the verdict. Time Warner Cable, which was carrying the program, suspects sabotage, it says.
Yeah, nothing wrong with missing the last 10 episodes. Try missing the last 10 years.
And the cable company says it's trying to get permission to rerun the episode. That may not be necessary. NBC says they will rerun the final Seinfeld next Wednesday night. Something to look forward to.
Oh.
The tabloids hitting the...
Wild, man. Wild.
Tabloids are hitting the stands today with the story of Jerry Springer's fling with that porn star and her stepmom. The Globe has 14 photographs of Springer in a Chicago hotel room taken from the videotape. And in most of those 14 pictures, he's not wearing pants.
Hey, who knew that little Jerry Springer was so good working with his hands, baby? Wow.
The paper quotes an insider, as they always do, as quoting Springer as saying, "I screwed up. I've ruined my life." And the insider also says that Jerry Springer is grim and nervous and not really talking to anyone now.
Are these pictures of Jerry Springer
sent, or are they pictures of Jerry Springer having sex with the mother and daughter?
You will see the daughter, the porn star, completely nude, you know, as much as the tabloid can do
that. Right, right, right.
Jerry is pantsless. What he's doing or how well we'll be able to tell, I don't know, because, you know, they're gonna put black tape over that as well.
He's demonstrating his powers of concentration. Yeah,
wild, man. So I don't know how apparent it'll be what he's doing.
Is that for a final thought?
I used to every time with Ben Franklin. Wild. What he would do is he would take a piece of string, attach it to his penis, and then send the other end on a kite. It'd be wild, and the kite would get hit with electricity. And all would then call it.
I tell you, the whole time during the E.O. days was just two guys out on the street praying for a thunderstorm.
Wild. Wild.
Fantastic.
Wild.
Gossip columnist Liz Smith has more on the breakup of Elton John and his career-long manager, John Reed. Liz says that Elton has asked his friend Sting and George Michael not to accept Reed's phone calls. Liz says the two, this John Reed and Elton John, started as intimate friends, so you can gather from that what you may, and had an ugly breakup, as you guys had guessed the other day.
Yeah. It was like a real cat fight.
According to John Reed, the fight was all about Elton spending. Sorry, we're out of time.
When we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.